say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight, you better believe you got one.
The next chapter in the war for humanity's minds begins now at alexjoneslive.com. Jones Network. Tomorrow's news today.
We've got a massive broadcast with huge guests joining us today. Remember, I serve at your pleasure here. I'm only still on the air and survived all the deep state attacks because of your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. We have a huge sale going right now that ends tonight at midnight. I'll just stop there. Okay, everything is really continuing to come to a head. We have all these big CIA insiders, and of course Iran now saying it, that Iran has had nuclear weapons for a long time. They just haven't perfected the delivery systems until right about now. And a lot of folks will say, well, wait a minute, that legitimizes Israel freaking out. And whenever I would expose this years ago, people would say, oh, you're an Israeli operative, shut up. No, I'm just, no, the facts. And Saudi Arabia has nukes too, boys and girls, and that's now coming out. So I have the sources, I have the research, that's what I do. I also predicted last week that Netanyahu himself had written Section 224 of the National Defense Authorization Act of 2027, and it turns out, this came out yesterday, he wrote letters to the members of Congress on the Defense Committee that put the section in that he wrote. He says, thank you for putting in word for word what I wrote. That literally turns over everything to Israel. And they spin it in the news like, oh, they've got great missile interceptors. They just want to do a joint deal with us, and that way they make money and don't need their tens of billions a year anymore. Because it's not just $3.8 billion. It's like $23 billion so far in weapons last year alone. And then I noticed the Israeli bots were flooding everywhere, including my post on X saying, well, this is just a weapons deal. What are you talking about, you big liar? Go read Section 224. It says everything is integrated live time. From DARPA to the universities, to the armed services, to the satellites, to the telemetry and weapons guidance, everything. If that passed, it would be the end of our country as we know it. I mean, this is beyond treason. This is just absolutely a foreign government merging with us and getting stuff that people with top secret security clearances don't have access to. So as a rule, you never give any of these agencies or groups total access to anything. It's got to be compartmentalized. Now, of course, I came out days ago and said that if you look at the threat escalation ladder, because Iran does have nukes, and because of statements by Israeli leaders threatening to nuke Iran, that they would launch the Samson option if the United States pulls back support. And now Israel is officially saying that today. And we've got other big CIA insiders going public warning of this as well. So, again, tomorrow's news today. And, of course, I don't just tell you I have that information. I show you Jonathan Pollard and Ben Gravier and, you know, all the usual suspects saying it. And that's really my frustration is 99% of what I cover is just admitted, but people just don't want to admit it to themselves. So we've got all of that coming up. Also, the head of Anthropic AI says put a global hold on AI now. It's already escaped human control. And I agree with that. I agree it's already escaped human control. It's all coming up. One hell of a Friday global transmission. Oh, and Trump says he's getting ready to invade Cuba.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
Hey! If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
Get up! Get up, get on your feet! Thieves and liars!
Get up! Get on your feet!
Bring combat erection! Toxic body detection! Geriatric surprise! We simply die!
Kill! 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 Welcome to this live Friday global transmission that the deep state fought to take on the air but failed. Thanks to your support. Thanks to your word of mouth. Thanks for your financial support. Thanks to you. The InfoWars' fabulous success against tyranny is due to you taking action. And I salute all of you on this live Friday, June 5th, 2026 transmission. Okay, we have G. Edward Griffin, the living legend, since the early 1960s, exposing the New World Order, producing feature-length films, best-selling books. He's the original Alex Jones. He will be joining us coming up in the third hour today. Jay Dyer in the fourth hour, and the great Edward Dowd, who first exposed the insurance actuary numbers of 20 million dead 4 years ago. Now it's upwards of 40 million. And the incredible Senate hearings Tuesday and Wednesday that I mentioned but haven't gotten to, because there's, I mean, just, I got the most powerful clips. It's over 30 minutes. And so what I'm thinking I'll do is maybe come in and do a special Saturday show tomorrow just for an hour. Well, several hours, but an hour on that. I mean, it's incredible. And you'll watch it and go, we already know all this. Well, you do. So we had all the experts on and the insiders, you know, the guy that wrote the U.S. chemical and biological weapons laws and U.N. prosecutors and everybody else. But now it's the HHS presenting it to Congress. I mean, whoa. And the corporate media is fighting like the devil to suppress this information. We have Vladimir Putin coming out yesterday and saying, I'm ready for peace talks with Zelensky. We need to end this war before I have to flatten Kiev. Zelensky responded saying, fine, I'm ready to meet with you because we can't wait for the Americans. So some real movement there from what we've seen in the past. Why is that? I've got a few ideas on it. I was really concerned that when Trump shuts down the Iran war, which I want him to do, as a face-saving measure, when the aircraft carriers come back, I said this about a month ago, into the Caribbean, into the Atlantic, and then into the Caribbean Sea, that we would hit Cuba. Now, I want Cuba to go bye-bye, the communist regime, but at the same time, a lot could go wrong with this. And this is not snatching Maduro. It's a lot more complex than that. This is just because the communists have suppressed their people and they only have electricity a few hours a day does not mean that the Cuban military is not going to give us a fight. And even if we were able to take their major cities, it's going to be a guerrilla war, probably. unless we can make a deal with their leadership to stand down. And clearly that's what Trump's doing, is putting pressure on them. And they've had the CIA director and others meeting with their leadership. They want Raul Castro handed over so he can be paraded around. That's fine with me. Certainly deserves it for the terror attacks and things he launched against U.S. citizens. But we've got Trump openly saying that he's going to drop by when the Iran war is over and pay a little visit. We got him saying that in the Oval Office yesterday. Also, I've stayed out of this because I wasn't sure. In the last few months, Democrats showing Trump in cabinet meetings and things looking like he's falling asleep. And, I mean, Trump works a lot of hours, and a lot of times when I'm sitting in some court hearing or some meeting, and I'll kind of close my eyes and relax and zen out. But clearly yesterday he fell asleep twice. One time his head then bobbed down, and it goes to a larger issue. I don't think he has full dementia or even maybe the beginning phase of frontal lobe is what a lot of experts that have looked at him have said, and I looked it up. It looks pretty accurate. But when you're 79 and you sleep 3 hours a day and you work like he does, I don't see how anybody but Superman could do this. And remember, I got attacked last year for being anti-Trump by Trumpers when I was still pretty much on board with Trump, but concerned when I said he needs to rest more. He needs to play golf more. He's obviously gaining weight. His ankles have swollen up really big. That means pretty much one thing, congestive heart failure, the beginnings of it. And I'm worried about him. And now he's showing some really bad signs, the swollen purple hands, the lesions on the neck. I mean, I'm 52, folks, and I work most days 18 hours. And I'll push and push and push and push and push and do some late night interview. And then it's midnight and I don't even remember going to bed. Not drinking, not, you know, anything. I'm not on any drugs. I just don't remember going to bed. And sometimes I'll sit out on the couch after, you know, doing some work and I just fall asleep on the couch. I mean, anybody that's worked a lot knows that. I mean, I don't know 50-year-olds, 52-year-olds that could do what Trump's doing. It's so it doesn't mean that he needs to be 25th amendmented for health issues at this point, but it's going to go to that point if he continues to drive himself like this. And so I'll be getting to those latest videos on that, but there's no doubt yesterday in the meeting, and it's televised, there's dozens of cameras there. You'll see him. He goes like, and about a minute later, he goes, and he wakes up. Oh. And then another time he's like, oh. And I was in a legal meeting like a month ago after the show. I'd worked all day, got up at like 4 a.m. It's like 5 o'clock. I'm in the law office. They're all talking and arguing. And I wake up 10 minutes later and they go, yeah, we didn't want to wake you up. You were sitting there snoring, leaning back because I was tired. I've noticed if the room is warm, and I'm really tired and everybody's talking and I shut up, I'll just kind of drift off. That doesn't mean I have dementia. It doesn't mean I can't do a good job. It means I'm exhausted. And I remember my dad owned quite a few dental offices, and at one point I'm part of a hospital in a group. He owned a leasing supply company. He was a big entrepreneur. And I remember my dad, I remember being 9, 10, 11 years old. He would also do emergency surgeries. If one of his patients was in a car wreck or broke their jaw, they'd have him come to the hospital. I mean, he was just a hardworking guy. You know, my mom was always hating because he had that pager. And he would just get up anytime there was an emergency. And I remember her, you know, she'd get up and be walking around. And she'd go, David, call one of the doctors that works for you. You don't have to go every time. He goes, it's my patient, I'm going. And then the weekend would hit, and we'd be sitting there having breakfast, and my dad would just literally lean back and start snoring at the breakfast table. So, I mean, that's what this is. This is exhaustion. And it needs to stop. If a dentist wants to exhaust themselves doing that, that's fine because you're not in control of nuclear weapons. If a talk show host wants to do that, that's fine because I'm not in control of nuclear weapons. And then while he's in this state of exhaustion, they can sneak around and do whatever they want around him. And remember, about a month ago, Project O'Keefe Media Group, almost always say Veritas, got a whole bunch of high-level officials on tape going, yeah, he's so tired and whatever. You know, we just ignore what he says and do whatever we want. So, and I repeat that to those of you out there that believe this trillion D chest, everything is godlike. He makes no mistakes. Everyone in his administration is under his command. And so when Gorka comes out and says, you know, that basically right-wingers that we don't like are terrorists, that, well, then we're terrorists because Gorka said so, and that means Trump said so. No, it doesn't mean that. And all the time we get Trump, when we expose stuff and the information gets to him, to get back on course. So Trump is not perfect. Trump is exhausted. Trump's making a lot of mistakes. He's starting to try to get off the off-ramp on Iran, but we need to understand that he's 79, about to be 80, and nobody can do what he does and keep it together. He should be working maximum 12 hours a day. And they admittedly wake him up in the middle of the night when he's sleeping for a few hours, take him to the Situation Room, and they're doing it on purpose. I've known so many top CIA briefers to the presidents, like Ray McGovern and others. We've had them on, and they explain how they would purposely, not them but their bosses, order them to do emergency briefings on Reagan, Bush Sr., Clinton, W, to exhaust them, to control them. What do you think the CIA does when they're interrogating somebody? Sleep deprivation. So the deep state sleep deprives people. Nixon figured this out and started shutting it down. Nixon was smart enough to figure it out. Oh, sir, the Russians are moving missiles. We need you to come right now to the Situation Room, the bunker. Yes, okay, it's 4 a.m. And with Trump, it's well known he goes to bed about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and sleeps till about 5, and that's when they run in and do this crap. He's going to end up collapsing, folks. I said that a year ago, and you basically see him on TV. You know, let's just cover this now. I got all the other big news, since I'm already there. Let's just cover it now. Here is just one of the clips yesterday with him in the press conference / cabinet meeting, clearly falling asleep. Here it is.
Warmth of a job, an economy, a community, a family. And for too long, warmth of a job, an economy, a community, a family. And for too long, warmth.
And there's a bunch of these. Now let's go to this compilation right here with the Democrats in Congress. Chaos in the U.S. Foreign Affairs Committee hearing from Representative Ted Lieu and Secretary of State Marco Rubio over Donald Trump sleeping in important public meetings. Now, again, it doesn't mean he's incompetent, but what it does mean is that he's exhausted, and this defense, oh, he's the hardest working guy we know, he never does this. Nobody's saying he's not hardworking. Nobody's saying he doesn't have a great stamina. That's a diversion. The point is he is more and more falling asleep at meetings all over the place. And people are talking to him, and he's not responding back, just like Biden did. And Biden was way, 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 way worse. Okay, so Trump may have called me a low IQ and a loser and fried, which I'm not, obviously. But that's okay. I don't think Trump's fried, but he's getting there if he doesn't put the brakes on. And I'm predicting, and I know when I warned him last year, there was intervention already happening. He started taking off a little bit more, exercising some, playing golf more for a few months, and he bounced back. He just needs a vacation with all the things he's got going on. People can say, oh, suddenly you love Trump again. No, I've got big problems with Trump, but he's the president right now, and a lot's going on, so we need him in the best shape he can be in so that he's conscious and sharp so we can influence him to course correct, which is starting to happen in many areas. Like getting almost all the childhood poison vaccines restricted and the other good people he's got in the cabinet. So now let's go ahead and go to this confrontation over Trump falling asleep.
President Trump, and you will see that he is sleeping while you are talking.
Oh, my God.
Please show the video.
Products they make and what American farmers grow and produce has a fair shot to be sold around the world. On issue after issue, that's been the case. You talk about foreign aid reforms. This is not our money. This is taxpayer money.
Secretary Rubio, have you been at more than one meeting where President Trump has fallen asleep?
That's false. That's false. I've never seen him fall asleep. On the contrary, the guy doesn't sleep, which is a big problem because he calls me at 2 in the morning. He calls me at 5 in the morning. And, you know, I like to sleep a little bit, maybe not 12 hours, but at least 6. So he works. The other day he was at the Oval Office until 12:30 a.m. I don't know what you're talking about.
Secretary Rubio, I'm going to show you in a moment a video that shows you just lied to Congress.
Oh, okay.
So this is a video of a cabinet meeting literally from last month where Donald Trump is sleeping while you are talking. Please show this video.
A coalition of countries that line up behind the peace deal, behind the border peace, and it's still every day is a challenge. But it's been driven personally by the president. It's the reason why we're involved in this whole Ukraine-Russia conflict. That's not our war. It's not the president's war. This war started. It never would have happened if you'd been president. But this war is going on, and the president is trying to end it.
You are literally talking about issues of war and peace, and Donald Trump is sleeping right next to you.
No, he's not.
If Donald Trump cannot stay awake at these important meetings where the cameras are rolling, imagine what he's like when the cameras are not there. So I'm going to ask you, have you been at classified meetings where Donald Trump has fallen asleep or had trouble staying awake?
I've never been at any meeting where and the things you're showing me now, he was not falling asleep. And
so,
I think
so you're lying again. You're lying consistently to Congress.
About sleep.
You're
this
lying to
joke.
Congress, Secretary Rubio. So I'm going to show you another video in a moment. The president's inability to stay awake on the job has caused other countries to perceive him differently. They mock him. They see he is weak and he is feeble. This is a video of a French news channel talking about Donald Trump falling asleep at a Memorial Day ceremony. Please show this video.
Well, Mark, a video that appears to show Donald Trump falling asleep at a Memorial Day ceremony this Monday has been circulating heavily online. And internet users have a lot to say about it. It's also reignited rumors about the state of the U.S. president's health.
By the way, pause. Now, back it up 10 seconds. You've all seen me when I do a late night show, and I've been up since 3 a.m. the morning before. And I make that exact same face where you're like, ugh. I mean, so Trump needs to rest more. That's the only reason I'm going over all this. This is a serious issue. The Democrats are jumping on it. Let's take the issue away. I don't think he has dementia. I don't think he has Alzheimer's. I think he's totally exhausted. Let's finish the clip.
I'll mark a video that appears to show Donald Trump falling asleep at a Memorial Day ceremony this Monday has been circulating heavily online. And internet users have a lot to say about it. It's also reignited rumors about the state of the U.S. president's health. Now, in the video, social media users say that Trump is fighting sleep whilst he listens to the speech given by Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, and that his eyes appear to be closed for a large portion of the ceremony.
Yeah, I watch him all the time. That's what's happening. Because I'm the same way when I'm exhausted. As long as I'm moving, making decisions, talking, I have plenty of energy. The minute I sit down, I start falling asleep. This is how it works. Doesn't mean he's got Alzheimer's. It means he's exhausted. All right, moving on from that. That's a side issue, but I got into it, so we hit it. This situation with Israel and Section 224 in the National Defense Authorization Act of 2027, they're getting ready to pass in the next few months, is unbelievable. And so it takes some time to hit this, so we're going to break it in 6 minutes. I'm going to hit it after the break. And guys, go ahead and pull up Section 224 again. I know I had it in my stack, but I moved it off. And it is amazing because we now know, because he sent letters to the members of Congress from the Armed Services Committee that put it in the bill, the main defense, or now Department of War funding bill, was written by Netanyahu. So now you have a foreign government writing the legislation that when you read the 5 pages of Section 224, no one can read that and not come away with it's Israel taking over and getting access to everything. And then saying they cone all our weapons and making trillions of dollars. I mean, it is a coup. It is a palace coup. It is a takeover. Yeah, there's a letter that Netanyahu sent to the committee member that put it in the bill saying thank you for putting the legislation that I wrote word for word in the legislation. Unbelievable. And now we have it being talked about in congressional hearings. So this is just wild. That's coming up. Iran has acquired nuclear weapons and informed Pakistan. That's why Trump lashed out at Netanyahu and told him, you're effing crazy, former high-level CIA officer Larry Johnson. Notice I've been telling you this for years. As Israel's support collapses in America, one option remains, the doomsday blackmail called the Samson option. This was yesterday on Mario Nafal. The day before, I have my report about Israel's holding its nuclear blackmail with the Samson option. And you guys have that X post. It's a 70-minute video. I suggest everyone watch it. We'll put that on screen for you so you can find it. There I am the day before, nuclear war bombshell. Watch top Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard and other Israelis brag that Israel used nuclear blackmail to control the United States in 73, and that Netanyahu is using the same nuclear threat to control the Trump administration now. In this report, Pollard echoes similar statements made by top Israeli officials that if the U.S. stops total support for Israel's ongoing attacks in Iran and other planned targets like Egypt and Turkey, then Israel is ready to launch the Samson option engulfing the Middle East in nuclear hellfire. Bottom line, Israel is holding America hostage with nuclear weapons. And we have ministers bragging, it's in the report, that that is the case. So this is just outrageous. And again, everybody knows, I'm not Mr. Hate Israel. I'm not Mr. Hard On for Israel. High wind blows down your Christmas lights. You know, evil Jewish fairy did it. But when Israel does bad, corrupt stuff, and they're good at it, like any of these powerful, corrupt governments, and Israel runs Islamic terror groups, and you know, Lindsey Graham's funding them. It's all British intel. We do it too. It's sick. And I always say, hey, Israel's doing all this bad stuff. We do it too. We should all stop. And the Nazis go, how dare you, you son of a bitch. It's only Israel that does anything bad. I'm like, that's just not true. In fact, Israel learned most of this from the U.S. and England. They're very competent, so they're probably better than us in some ways. So, yeah, they're really dangerous. Now Israel's openly trying to take over all the intelligence agencies in the Pentagon and all research and development and then be tied into all the profit-making out of the military-industrial complex. I mean, I'm just like, what the hell? So all the claims of Zionist occupation, government's going to take over the U.S. and they're going to set it up like Palestine and put us in camps. And you got the head of the ADL saying we'd use the same energy we used on Hezbollah with exploding pagers on Americans that criticize Zionism. And we're going to censor everybody and they're coming after me. And they have galas with Sacha Baron Cohen talking about how I need to be arrested for talking about replacement migration. And I'm just like, okay, I mean, you are the king villains now, the people running Israel. You are bad. You are trying to take us over. You are bullying the snot out of us. And I'm just sitting here going, okay, I don't like the Nazis. I don't like the Islamicists. I don't like people running Israel. I don't like the corrupt globalist EU. I don't like the pedophile, satanic UK leaders, the Chi-Com, transhumanist, soulless wonders. I mean, it's just like, wow. And I'm just going to continue to expose all the corrupt power blocks and just call it like it is, and then you can decide what you're going to do about it. And we have guests on that break down ways to try to take the country and the world back. But, I mean, this is just crazy. But there's a power vacuum right now and a fourth turning right now. And Israel, though it's a tiny country with a small GDP, has a lot of the cutting-edge AI, you name it, everything else, and they got competent people and they got their operatives that are dual loyalty or really not even loyal, I guess, to the U.S., all over the place. Jonathan Pollards are all over our government, media, and corporations. And they are making a run at this country. There is no doubt that communist China is junior now as the threat to the U.S. They were senior. Israel is now the main threat to the sovereignty and existence of this country and really world peace. And it's just a fact. So I'm going to report that. It's true. Congratulations, Netanyahu. You have turned Israel into the number one supervillain. You've done it. Congratulations. And then now, if you study what comes out of this, it gets even worse. We're going to come back and break it all down straight ahead. Share those live feeds now, now, now. Real All Shows on X. I don't sell crap. Bovine colostrum. I'm going to get back to news. I didn't do any plug in the first hour. And Bigley, about a year ago, puts out a survey. A lot of you, that are, you know, if you're a VIP, you get surveys. And you know, once a month or something, they'll ask, hey, what are you wanting? Or what are you liking best? Or what products would you like? And that's smart to ask customers that, right? And you're kind and you tell us. And it came back. Bovine colostrum was in the top two or three every time. And so was high-grade beef tallow, which we now have for you as you requested. And it's a great seller. Not rocket science to ask your customers what they want. That's the number one rule of sales. Well, have a great product and find out what your customer wants. And you can say the customer's always right. I think there's something better I'm going to tell you, but I'm not going to argue with it. But that's an important rule of sale, but I don't think it's the most ethical point. I'll actually tell you what I think I need to know. So we got samples of it in before we even private labeled it from a top place to say, hey, you got to try this. Well, And now I'm taking it because I know how good it is. I'm like, okay, the survey wants bovine colostrum, the first milk of 2 weeks out of a mammal. I know it supercharges the immune system. I know it has all these immunity factors that goes in. It's like the natural vaccine. I mean, I know it's great. I know that going back to Germany hundreds of years ago in the UK and even out west here in the US, if they had a sickly kid or a preemie, they would give them the colostrum. They would call it the first milk of a donkey. It's like always in all the literature, like the medical doctors like that. Oh my God, donkey. Donkey colostrum is like, whoa, man. I mean, like that, donkey. And then horse is good, goats are good, but it's always donkey's the best. It says, you know, the first 2 weeks milk, the colostrum of a genie. That's in medical books from Germany, the UK, the US. That's how powerful colostrum is. Well, we don't have big, you know, creameries and dairies with a bunch of female donkeys, so you're gonna have to settle with the cow. But it's good. And so they send in the canister of the company we're going to private label it from. And I'm like, okay. And so I throw it in the back of my car with some other stuff. And a couple days later, I go to have dinner at my parents. And I go, hey, my mom takes, I've seen her take colostrum and stuff. It was women like their hair and their nails and all that. I'll give her this. So I go in and give her a couple canisters of it and everything. And then about 2 months later, my mom is like, Alex, I want some more of that. That is incredible.
Several weeks later.
Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it's in a back problem that I've had since Alex was born. It's almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been, and I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker.
So now she gets it from us, she orders it from us, but that just gives you an example of I'm not selling crap, okay? I'm not going to sell you something that doesn't work. Now, with colostrum, it's going to take, you're going to feel it right away in a few days, but it's going to take, you know, months for you to see it. With the skin and the hair and the nails and all that for it to really kick in. But I'm telling you, you are nuts if you don't go to the AlexJonesStore.com and get these right now. Just go get it. And then we can expand and have our legal battles and beat the New World Order, and you'll be as happy as a pig in poop. And there's a bunch of sales on all the best-selling products right now at the AlexJonesStore.com. And I can't be bought. I am simply funded by you if you like the work we're doing.
Nice try, globalist, but Alex Jones is still here, and he's not leaving. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Yeah, there's a storm on the loose. Sirens in my head. Wrapped up in silence, our circuits are dead. Can I decode? My whole life spins into a frenzy.
Welcome back. All right, let's finish up with this incredible development and the latest developments within that. As we learn late last week that in the Defense Authorization Act, it has been slipped in by the committee head that Israel, you got to just go read the five pages of Section 224. Just go to thomas.gov, you know, just type in text to the 2027 National Defense Authorization Act and just go right to Section 224. We'll put it on screen in a minute. And it says every facet of intelligence, academia that's in defense, bioweapons, surveillance, weapons systems, telemetry, satellites, weapons development. I mean, just everything. It will be live time integrated, and that Israel and its IDF and intelligence agencies will be given full live time access and integration to everything, and that we will integrate our forces. So imagine that. And then I said last week, and then this week I said, I wonder who wrote this. I said, I bet Netanyahu wrote this. In fact, have the archivist find that. I think I said that like Monday. Because it's just crazy. And then it turns out Netanyahu, and I'll show it to you, wrote a letter to the committee, an individual on the committee that put this in, thanking them for what they did. Now, this London Guardian, Congress wants to tie the United States to Israel with its new legislation. It's a trap. And remember, about 5 weeks ago, Netanyahu said, oh, we're not going to take money from you anymore. We're going to do joint weapons deals. So I started talking about this in the last week. I noticed the bots, not just on Real Talk Show on X, but even on my Rumble channel and everybody else's. So I go and look, were known Israel first bots and actual influencers saying, this is simply Israel's great missile defense system that they're going to sell to the U.S. Jones is a lying scumbag. There's none of that in the legislation. Meanwhile, you can go read it for yourself. It's incredible. I've read the sections over and over again the last week here on air. Maybe I should do it again. It takes 30 minutes to read it, though. Integrate, fuse, live time, all access. Go read it. Bioweapons, all the kinetic weapons, missiles, intelligence, live feeds, everything. And they say, no, that's not happening. Meanwhile, Netanyahu sends a letter thanking the committee and the individuals that put this in there. And that's always the tactic. At first, when we expose something, just say it doesn't exist. Then once we force it out of a deal with Israel, oh, you're anti-Semitic. I wouldn't support the UK having this, Canada, Russia, Germany, the EU, NATO, anybody. And I'll read his letter here in a moment. But here is Ro Khanna accuses Netanyahu of ordering Congress to add Section 224 to the defense bill, expanding U.S.-Israel military ties. That's Mario Nofal writing, and Mario likes to be careful about things, but he wrote a letter bragging about it. I mean, it's not accusing him. He did it. The American people are tired of Netanyahu telling us what we should do. This comes after Bibi's letter, Representative Stoltzman, surfaced, where he says, thank you for taking the legislation I sent you and adding it. I mean, I'll read the letter in a minute, but this is just crazy. Absolutely crazy. Here's a meme that was put out dealing with it. For your radio listener, I'll describe it. Jefferson's violin posted, it says, traitors. It's an image of Netanyahu. He says, I wrote a law for you. Oh, my God. What does it do? Never mind. Let me just pass it real quick. So this is a foreign power, super unpopular, most unpopular in the world. Netanyahu's super unpopular, but holds on to power of parliamentary manipulation. And clearly, Netanyahu announces this plan 5 weeks ago that, don't worry, we don't want your money anymore. We're just going to have joint weapons development with you. And then this is their plan. It's not just joint weapons development. Because the U.S. from time to time buys weapon systems from different groups. And so if Israel has a superior anti-missile system, I have no problem. You know, we buy it from them. I want to trade with Israel. I don't want to blow Israel off the map. I'm not Israel's enemy. I'm the enemy of Israel going crazy trying to take over. Just like when the Democrats were trying to totally take over and take all our freedoms, I'm against them too. I mean, anybody acting predatorily, I'm against you. So here he is writing to the congressman. Dear congressman, I was glad to receive your proposed congressional resolution endorsing my plan to ship the framework for U.S.-Israel defense cooperation from aid to partnership. As I said in our meeting in Jerusalem on May 27, 2026, Israel deeply appreciates the financial component of the military aid the United States has generously provided us over the years, over $200 billion. The time has now arrived for us to move forward from aid recipient to partner. Partner. Well, I mean, I'm an American citizen. I thought this is my government. It's like you're married to something and we're going to bring another partner here. So now we're swingers. I am heartened by your enthusiastic support for my plan and for our plan to develop a new memorandum of understanding with the United States government that will draw down U.S. financial military assistance over the next decade and replace it with what you refer to as the new framework of joint defense operations, co-development, co-production, and mutual investment in areas including advanced missile defense, artificial intelligence, unmanned systems, cybersecurity, and next-generation military platforms. I also appreciate your commitment to fighting the scourge of anti-Semitism in the United States and around the world. So his plan. Now, here's the answer to this before I play this clip from Congress talking about it. House votes to limit Trump's Iran war powers in remarkable rebuke. So just like we have war powers in there, if a president tries to commit us to a full war without authorization, you can cut the funding, you can stop it. That's passed the House, now it's got to pass the Senate. Well, how about we need a War Powers Act over Netanyahu to stop him from running our country? Because that's what this is a coup. And I'm going to explain something to you right now. Well, I'm going to play this clip from Congress, and then I'm going to explain something really key, because Israel didn't invent this. Netanyahu didn't invent this tactic of calling it a business deal, and it really transfers your sovereignty. We're going to give you some really important information that nobody else is pointing out. And again, I don't want to be the guy, the only guy that knows this stuff, okay? Or the only guy with a big show that knows it. You know, the bad guys all know this. They use it against you. I'm like somebody that goes to the magic show and gets up and tells the crowd how the magician's doing it, okay? And when I tell you how the trick works, you can see it for yourself, okay? So I'm here to demystify all this stuff, but this is treason. So here's the Congressman Rokana talking about it.
The American people are tired of the arrogance and insolence of Prime Minister Netanyahu telling America what we should do. The entire country of Israel has a GDP that is less than a single town in my district. Yet somehow Netanyahu thinks he could tell the American people what we should do. The person who's most upset with him right now is President Donald Trump. And everyone in America, whether you're a Republican, an independent, or a Democrat, says that we need to tell Netanyahu that America calls the shots, not the prime minister of any other country. They want less cooperation and blank checks to Israel, not more. Only the United States Congress would dream up at this moment, let's actually do more for Israel, not less. And that's what Section 2024 does. It's a pretty simple thing. Should we do more for Israel than we already do, or should we do less? If you think we should do more for Israel, you should be against my amendment. If you think we should do less for Israel at the time that he's arrogantly telling Donald Trump what to do, then you should be for my amendment. Now, let me just be clear. Mr. Netanyahu actually wrote to a member of Congress to put this Section 224 into the bill.
Yep. And he brags about it. And they got all the Israel bots out running around saying that's not true and saying it's just a missile deal. No, it's not. Go read 224. Now, I'm going to give you four keys here, okay, that add to this piece, okay? 38 states have passed laws that if you criticize Israel in any way and are a government contractor, building roads, whatever it is, government buildings, fixing the lights, whatever, you, by law, if you're given a contract, it's a felony by whoever gave it to you. And it's being enforced around the country, right here in Texas and Florida, some of the worst. That violates the First Amendment. That is a social credit score. It's an equivalent of an ESG that BlackRock has. Corporate, but this is governmental ESG. This is governmental social credit score. Very dangerous. And that's because Israel is getting ready to merge with our defense system. And under the legislation, it all has to be built here. That's, and you know Trump's in on this. He needs to come out against it. That's got Trump written all over it that in the bill, it has to be built here. Israel doesn't care. They get the secrets and they get the money. And then the government just claims, oh, you own this, you own that. Oh, you added to this new weapon, so now it's yours. It's a license to absolutely rob us, and we already have tens of trillions missing at the Pentagon. And the way this bill subsection set up, it's done within the classified area, so there's no review of it. There's like one hearing once a year in Congress. So it's like setting up the private Federal Reserve in 1913. Gilbert Griffin's coming up in the third hour, the man most responsible for exposing the private Federal Reserve since Senator Lindbergh was fighting it back at the time, will be joining us. But it's a private corporate European-owned bank. Only audit was ever done was right before they passed it. 82% of it was owned by European families, most of it Rothschild. And here we are, 100-plus years later, 113 years later, and the Federal Reserve is still in control. So it's the same thing. This is a corporate move, a corporate agreement to bring the Israeli defense system and its military-industrial complex with its intelligence system into every level, academia, DARPA, development, live time, merger of all feeds, intelligence, weapons guidance, everything. It's all in the damn legislation in five pages. Go read it. Already read it twice on air, not doing it again. Go read it. And when you see the Israeli bots lying, you know they're lying for yourself. Don't believe me? Go read it. Integration, live time fusion, over and over again, everything. Netanyahu's letter says it's everything. But not his bots. Not his eight-front war to suppress evil people that criticize Israel. You mean while you try to take over? This is our house, not your house. And you've jumped the shark here. But that because Israel has made all these bad decisions. Israel's so unpopular. Israel is surrounded now, blown up most of its enemies. But its answer is, oh, there's a power vacuum. We'll just take over. That's what's happening. I told you, during this fourth turning, there's a big scramble to try to, of all these different groups, to get control and get power. And Israel and its worldwide connection of Jews are not all involved in it, but the prominent ones mainly are. They're making their move. And they got a damn good shot of succeeding. And when people don't like it, well, then they're going to suppress us. So this is what I'd sit there and hear Nazis say, 30 years ago, and I'd laugh at them. We got a Zionist-occupied government. I knew there were all these other big power blocks, and the CIA and Mossad were always fighting back and forth. I was like, oh, yeah, right, we'll have a Zionist government. Little Israel's going to run us. And now I sit back and go, well, Alex Jones isn't always right, because this is what's being attempted right now. I mean, it is Zog. I mean, there's no other way to call it. I mean, this is Zionist-occupied government. If they get away with this. I mean, and by the way, to American Jews and others, I know a lot of you are patriotic, and some of you they call self-hating Jews just because you don't like being signed on to this in your name. A lot of critics of Israel that are more intense than I am are Jewish. I bet you don't like this. In fact, the next few days, we got to open the phones up to American Jews and see what they think. Some may agree, some I'm sure will disagree, but I mean, this is crazy town. Absolutely bonker to the max. So that's where we are on that front. Now, let's get to this. Now, again, for at least 16 years, I have specifically told you that Iran has atomic bombs. And then some will say, well, that goes to Netanyahu's point. He was saying 25 years, they're 2 weeks away. Yes, Israel's had real concerns about that. But the point is that they've already got the nukes and the delivery systems now. Pakistan says they'll nuke Israel if you nuke Iran. North Korea's going to nuke you. I told you that months ago. Now they made it official 2 days ago. The threat escalation ladder, it's not going to work. And blowing up the nuke sites, the uranium's already gone. I said that back during Midnight Hammer. And I was the traitor. I was the Iranian agent. I know the topics. I've studied the war games. And so now Iran's come out and said 2 months ago, oh, we're a week away. Now they said, no, we got nukes 2 weeks ago. And then as soon as that happened, Saudi Arabia, they made a deal decades ago with Pakistan to have nukes it owns, but kept in Pakistan with Saudi Arabian pilots with Pakistani flag planes, that they would move those back under their agreement whenever Saudi Arabia thought they were in danger of nuclear war, both from Israel and the Samson option and Iran. And what, 2 weeks ago, they moved 8,000 troops to guard the nukes and the fighter bombers with the nukes back into Saudi Arabia. That was a big deal. And I said, watch for Iran to say, okay, you pressured us. We're now not doing what the old Ayatollah said. The fatwa was lifted. We're going to nukes. They made the announcement last week. See, I'm telling you before because I know the threat escalation letter. I know the pieces. I know the moves they've got. Well, now Larry Johnson, highly respected, incredible accuracy record, former CIA, has come out and laid out the fact that, yes, they indeed do have nukes. Another very respected journalist, Pepe Escobar, has broken it down. And I told the crew today, I said, I don't want this old compilation going back 20 years saying they had nukes. I confirmed with Pentagon sources 16 years ago they did. I just said, give me a newer one, you know, just the last decade. So they got 2013 to 2025 where I told you all this, and then now it's all being confirmed. Let's go to those clips.
That Iran will even be prepared.
Here, let's stop.
To do.
Stop here. I'm sorry, I move quick. I did want you guys to go to Larry Johnson first before. Sorry, we'll get to that in a moment. Let's go to the compilation of me laying this out. It's a short compilation first. Let's go to that. Here it is. And I was told that by a very high-level military source and another high-level military source, and I was talking to a special warfare source that had been in a lot of really secretive operations, and they got very, very upset when I raised that and said, I don't know how you know this, but yes, Iran has the bomb, and stop talking to me about stuff like this. And was basically like, it's dangerous that you know that. And so I'm not bragging that I know this type of stuff. I don't like always having such accurate information, but it is what it is. So that's why no one said Iran, but no one wants to say they have nukes, just like Israel doesn't want to say they have nukes, or then that gives other countries the excuse to proliferate and have nuclear weapons as well. Because the word is, right around the time the last year of Bush's administration, 6.5, 7 years ago, they were completing atomic weapons and warheads, and then have now completed being able to put them on top of medium-range missiles that can hit Israel, obviously. And you want to gamble that the Iron Dome weapon anti-missile system will be able to stop them? Probably won't be able to stop them. So I'm going to just keep announcing that. You only hear it here, and if you don't believe me, that's fine. It's real simple. And the Iranians are crazy enough, folks, to launch their atomic weapons at Israel and others. And then Israel's going to bomb all of Iran. The Russians are going to respond, the Chinese, the Indian, the Pakistans. It's World War III. Now, let's go to Benjamin Netanyahu in 2002. Saying that Iraq imminently was going to have these weapons, which we now know was not true. Now, I've studied the issue. Iran already has nuclear weapons, atomic weapons. They've had them for many years. I was told a decade ago they have 5 weapons we know about. Iran has nuclear weapons. Iran already has nukes.
Iran would be willing to block 60% of world's oil trade coming through the Straits.
And let me just stop you. I have a family member that was he's a retired military officer. He was the adjunct to one of the top guys in the Middle East, top general. He didn't tell me anything classified, but he told me 15 years ago, and I've told it since then, separate from that report, he said, look, we war-gamed Iran. They already had nukes back then, folks. He said, we go to war with them. It shuts down the world economy. We can't do it. Iran has had nukes for a long time. Israel's had them. Israel keeps them secret. So does Iran. When you hear they're about to get a nuke for 24 years from Netanyahu every day, he's saying they're developing delivery systems, but they don't want to scare the public with the fact that Iran already has them. Or the public will say, well, then don't hit them because they'll hit us with nukes. And I'm telling you, Iran's already got nukes. I've been saying that for many years, that they've got a higher level enrichment from my intel. You know, Netanyahu's been saying they're 2 weeks away for 25 years. So they've had the bomb for at least 15 years. And now they've got the delivery systems. And so the Pentagon and the Israelis and people better hope they know where those stuff is and those bombs are. Pakistan to nuke Israel if Iran attack, claims Iranian official. And Pakistan's head of the army said that and then met with Trump and retracted it. So they did say that. Okay, I'm going to come back and play the clips of Larry Johnson, CIA, and others now saying it's confirmed. And it's going to come out that Saudi Arabia has nukes, because I believe they want it to be known. But the deal was made, it was like 18 years ago. So it even came out in the different defense quarterly publications then. I mean, this is all known by researchers, okay? As Pepe Escobar also says, and that's coming up. Before we end this hour, this is pretty important information. Stopping the next pandemic, plandemic, stopping nuclear war, exposing bad things in the Trump administration to spotlight it to get reversals of it. This is your insurance policy against tyranny. The bad guys want the show off the air. Keep sharing the live feeds at Real Hawk Shows on X. Follow us on Rumble at rumble.com/The Hawk Show Live. That's the official site for the Hawk Shows Network. Bookmark the new news site with all the feeds and articles and videos. So you can share it with your family and everybody else you know. Tell them to share it. AlexJonesLive.com. That's the mothership. That's the key coordinates to promote AlexJonesLive.com. I want to thank you all for that. And support us financially. And I sell you things that, again, I know work, that are the highest rated, that are the very best, that will enrich your life so that you want to get it again. You're really missing out if you don't get our ultramethylene blue, if you don't get our bovine colostrum. If you don't get the very best supplements out there, most of our products are just private labeled of whatever the top rated already is. Or sometimes, well, I mean, a third of our products, we take the best and even make it better. So some of it's proprietary as well. There is a mega sale that ends tonight at midnight Central. That's Friday night. So you got 12 hours and 4 minutes. The lowest sale is 40% off. Everything's at least 40% off, and many things are 50% off site-wide until midnight tonight. And that's almost a loss leader in some cases, but I want those of you on the fence that never tried these products to get Methylene Blue. Take the challenge. Listen to me. You will not be disappointed. Also, today's the last day to enter to win both, because this only happens once a month for this 1 week, when one sweepstakes Great Americana vehicle is being closing out, the new one's launching, you can get put in to win both potentially, and every dollar you spend, you get put in, only for this week, 100x in the sweepstakes to win the 2026 Dodge Charger Scat Pack, the custom H1 Hummer. You can win both potentially. Nobody's ever won two, but somebody will soon, plus $20,000 in cash. Take action now. There's a bunch of other deals on the site, thealexjonesstore.com. And I want to thank you all for your support. We couldn't do any of this without you. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Tonight, the big 40-50% off sale ends, and the last chance to get in on the raffle to win both potentially at the same time. TheAlexJonesStore.com. But whatever you do, share the live feed now from Real Alex Jones on X and rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Hour number two.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable. Proceed with the install. Copy that. Installing the module now. Connection confirmed. All green.
Cable secured. Power to the cluster. Initiating boot sequence. Component locked. Running diagnostics. Archive systems online. Report to command.
Construction team, report status. Power grid stable, TK-421. Cabling complete, no faults. Proceed to phase two for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy.
The Empire demands perfection.
Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is. Feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated.
Weeks,
and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The morning passed so quickly, it was time for them to meet. It was 20 past 11 when they walked out in the street. Folks were watching from the windows, everybody held their breath. They knew this handsome ranger was about to meet his death. About to meet his death. There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play.
All right, we're about to get into...
And the swiftness of the ranger is still talked about today.
Again, the fact that Iran does have nuclear weapons, and Israel's obviously very concerned because now they have the delivery systems. But they're already in checkmate here. There's got to be a peace deal. Because they're already backstopped by Pakistan that says they'll nuke Israel if they nuke. North Korea's now officially said it. So that's where we are. And that's why Trump's saying you're effing crazy. Here's a respected former CIA officer, Larry Johnson, with Mario Nafal yesterday talking about it.
That Iran will even be prepared to do a demonstration of a nuclear weapon. That it's within an hour of that announcement. That Trump's on the phone immediately with Bibi Netanyahu saying what Axios has reported, which I think is an accurate rendition. Iran is going to withdraw from the Non-Proliferation Treaty, the NPT. Number three. And we have confirmed that this is from this intelligence source, and he's not giving opinion, that Iran will even be prepared to do a demonstration of a nuclear weapon, that they have acquired with the assistance of a third country. And I will not mention the country, but it will be... not for use, it will be to demonstrate that leave us alone, like North Korea, we got a weapon now. So, again, we got this information on Friday, but the first point that they were going to withdraw from the negotiations. And what did we get this morning at 10 a.m.? Well, 10 a.m. Eastern time, my time, you know, probably 5:30 your time, PM. They're withdrawing from the negotiations, and they come back to, you know, the blockade. It's got to be lifted. No more attacks in Lebanon. No more attacks in Gaza. Hence, now what we were told is that this information was given last Friday to Marco Rubio. Not to Mario.
I got worried. Yes. Don't drag me into this. I'm not the source. I'm not the source of West Asia.
I got it from Mario Nafal. No.
Give me a heart attack. I remember sharing it.
All right, let's go to Pepe Escobar talking about the same thing with Mario Nafal. Here it is. We'll go to break and come back.
I actually had another guest, the former Trump lawyer who has his own podcast. Great guy. He also said, he told me from...
Barnes?
Yes. What's his... Robert Barnes. Yes.
He's good, but Barnes is good. Yeah.
He's a regular as well. And he told me he heard a similar story from sources in the White House that Iran may already have acquired. And you can, from what I understand from Larry's, the source, the Pakistani source that you and Larry spoke to, is that they've acquired it from another country, and the warning was that they would demonstrate it if things escalate, or if their conditions are not met.
Exactly. And a few, half an hour ago, I had something, out of left field from one of my Italian connections, and he was talking about a conversation that he had with Iranians, and in the middle of the conversation, casually, yes, we do have it. But we don't have the right vectors to weaponize it. So, you know, this is not a secret. Everybody knows that
right
they have
vectors. The right vectors to Manhattan.
This is not a secret. But who told you decades ago? Wonder who had tomorrow's news today.
I'll start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is rocket fuel. This is incredible. This is rocket fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Insane if you don't get it. Okay? Well, listen. Well, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. Insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop. Stop. And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. Rex. You understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
DallasShowShore.com.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
So Israel, in the Defense Authorization Act, is trying to stage a public coup over every aspect of our military intelligence, live-time fusion, over-the-top insane. You have all these CIA insiders that are saying, yes, Iran has a nuke. Iran's saying we can make one in 1 week. We're ready to demonstrate a nuclear weapon. That came out a month ago. It's just breaking down. You have all these top Israeli operatives and Ben-Gavir saying, well, we'll just nuke and use the Samson option, a nuclear blackmail, if the U.S. tries to pull out of this war. They did that in 73 when they were in a big war, and the U.S. wasn't going to give them weapons. So Israel said, well, we're going to nuke Egypt, so that the U.S. got involved. We are right back there right now. And then you look at the Strait of Hormuz closed for 90-plus days, and that's now built into huge problems, not just with energy and inflation, but also with fertilizer. And it was a real Hail Mary to try to avoid a major correction or even collapse. When Trump got in, he was making a lot of good moves. But now, I've talked to a lot of economists. I do my own analysis. I don't see us getting out of a major correction, bare minimum now, probably something worse. The globalists were queuing up the Great Reset, a collapse, which they would then reorganize the world, bring in their central bank digital currencies, their control systems. Larry Fink has gone from looking like he was going to die a year ago to being totally happy, loving the Iran war, saying this shows we need a global system, we need a new reset. This is like COVID. As I said before this started, I said the Iran war is COVID 2.0, a way to shut down the world economy, for the central banks to be able to loan more money and consolidate power to a greater level. And so to look at all of the aftershocks and what's coming next, and to give his view, he's a great analyst, on what he sees coming next is Edward Dowd. And then I want to spend some time also on the Senate hearings this week with the HHS testifying about the mass death of the turbo cancers and it turning off your immune system. I mean, we knew this a long time ago, and Edward Dowd exposed it, did a great job, and got all these top insurance company actuarialists to go public and really show the data. But now to have the HHS there in Congress, it was surreal, but it's also surreal that it didn't really hit the corporate media. But that's okay. People don't watch them like they used to because people know that. So it's all interconnected. Edward Dowd is an ex-Wall Street professional worker at HSBC, Donaldson, Lufkin, and Jeanneret, BlackRock. He also worked in Wall Street, the sell-side and buy-side expert in fixed income and equities capital markets, founder of Finance Technologies, and author of Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Death, 2021-2022, Edward Dowd on X. And he's got a whole list of really important subjects here to get into with us today that we're going to be laying out with him. And I just want folks to, again, just understand, we're at the end of an old cycle. That's not Dowd. We're in the fourth turning. The question is, what comes out of this? You have all these different power forces trying to get control right now. Israel's right at the center of that, but there's other power structures as well. And I want to get Edwards Dowd's take on who he thinks is winning that fight. And then kind of that dark horse of populist movements worldwide that are so popular that are winning the info war, but still aren't politically in the seats of power. How does a cornered establishment, discredited, in trouble everywhere, and different facets, different establishments, deal with this huge awakening? Well, with censorship, tyranny, arrest, control, cutting off resources, classic feudalism. That's where we are. And so we're going to be laying it all out here with Edward Dowd today. So, Edward, that's my little kickoff of this. Now, you sent some graphs and things with China, gross output, value of construction. You know, will China be the trigger for the collapse? There's so much to hit here. Where do you want to begin first?
Well, let's start with the most important thing. Let's start with the Iran war. Right now, the oil markets and the equity markets are discounting a deal very soon, meaning they've already decided that a deal is going to happen. If a deal doesn't happen, we're going to have big, big problems. So let's hope that Trump gets a deal, figures out a way to walk away gracefully from this and move on. Because if we don't, we had two scenarios. And the first scenario is playing out. We had $125 oil, turned out to be about $100. And inflation would peak out around May, headline inflation at 5%. Looks like we're going to get between 4 and 5% for May. So we were right on scenario one. Scenario two was $200 to $250 oil if this extends longer than it has. And we have the two executives from Chevron and Exxon coming out and saying that we're approaching in 2 to 3 weeks the bottom of a lot of strategic petroleum reserve funds. And when we hit that, we're going to price the marginal real barrel, and that oil could go to 150 super quick. If it goes to 150, it's probably going to go to 200 if we don't get a deal soon. And if that happens, we've calculated inflation, headline inflation peaks out at 11% in August. So let's all hope and pray that Trump, you know, tries to, you know, do a deal, make it look like a win for himself. Let's just get this done. If we don't, it's only going to make what's coming anyways worse than we're predicting. So I'm not rooting for that. I want a deal done. The markets are expecting a deal to be done. And if we don't get a deal, it's going to be bad. So let's hope and pray that Trump does the right thing and Iran cooperates. Secondly, it's already baked into the cake. We have a real economy that's in the dumps. How do you know that? You look at consumer confidence. You look at, consumer-facing stocks, they're in the tank. The only part of the stock market that's working is AI. And AI, in my humble opinion and many other experts, is a bubble. And it's now 45% of the S&P 500 index. And this most recent rally from the war lows has been all AI and semiconductors. This is the scariest, most overvalued market I've ever seen. That's why Warren Buffett has 40% in cash. He's waiting for a big correction to pick up bargains at cheap prices. So, you know, the real economy is in the tank. Trump's numbers are in the tank primarily because of the economy. That's the biggest driver of poll numbers for presidents. And we have an AI bubble that could burst at any moment. We have a housing problem, which we've talked about 2 years. Home prices are stuck at these prices, 30% overvalued. They're starting to roll over. That's 20% of the economy. And then we have China, which is going into potentially the acute phase of their real estate crisis, which is spreading to the rest of the economy. I provided your staff with a graph that showed overall construction, and it started to roll over in the fourth quarter of 2025, and it's now showing another dip down. It's now showing it's down 8% year over year. So the real estate crisis, which began in 2020 and 21 and torched their internal economy, they tried to export the way out, is now hitting the whole economy, and they're in deep, deep, deep trouble. There's lots of migrant workers that can't find jobs, and that presents to them an internal risk, security risk problem, and they need a scapegoat. So geopolitically, this is an important time for China.
So there's so many major contagions right now. Normally, it's one big thing, like a crash in the housing market in China that's been foretold forever, and now clearly the graph shows we're here. But then you've got the inflation, while the economy contracts, so that stagflation, You've got Putin suddenly saying, I'm ready to meet with Zelensky. Zelensky says, I'm ready to meet. We can't wait on the Americans. What do you think that's about? I mean, you see real urgency in Trump publicly, when we now know, and I was the first to say it, leaking his attack on Netanyahu to blame him to get an off ramp. People spin it like, why are you defending Trump? I'm not. I'm just reporting on what's happening. I'm mad what Trump did, but we hope he corrects now and you know, gets back on track. What do you see happening there?
Yeah. So the markets are telling you he's going to do it. So let's hope that the talks aren't scuttled by Israel or other nefarious neocon characters in the administration. We need a deal. The markets need a deal. The oil markets need a deal.
But explain it. You know, but people that don't know, at the highest levels, that means Trump's told them to go out, tell the market, don't worry, this is happening. So they're betting on what he said. The problem is so many times in the last 90 days, 97 days, he said it's over and it's not. But I mean, it's got to be now, right?
It's got to be now. And if we believe the executives from Chevron and Exxon, there's speculation. There's a debate as to whether they're talking their own book. I don't believe they are. So in 2 to 3 weeks, we start pricing the marginal oil, a barrel of oil, because we've been using the Strategic Petroleum Reserves to meet demand, which is in fact kind of a Nixonian price control. Because what you wanted, what really should have happened, is you let oil prices go as high as they want. That creates demand destruction. So right now we don't have demand destruction. So no one really, I know gas prices are up about 43% at the pump, but that's not enough to cause tremendous damage yet. When oil prices go up another 50% at the pump, gas goes up another 50%, that's really going to put a halt here to the economy and crush the consumer.
And Trump's been stalling to try to get the war done, thinking, gambling, that suddenly the moodles will fall, but now reality set in.
Yeah, so we need a deal, and it doesn't matter whether the deal, I mean, if the deal looks like a loss to Trump, he can spin it. It doesn't matter. We just need a deal. The global economy needs a deal.
Well, the real loss is already the inflation we have that's already been manipulated to not be as high as it would be. And I think he understands. It's total disaster if oil goes up to 150. Explain in all the numbers what that does to inflation.
Yeah, if we go to above 150, we're going to have higher headline inflation, and it peaks out in August, according to our models, at 11%. So you think 5% is bad. Wait till we hit 11. In August, right before the midterms, Trump's done. The GOP is done in the midterms if we hit 11%. A CPI in August. It's just over.
From your research, or just your take, how did he get induced to Midnight Hammer, that was clearly just a prelude, so Israel would say, oh, we didn't get the material, to now going to full war when his own Pentagon told him it wasn't going to work? I mean, Trump doesn't just need to extricate himself from Netanyahu. He needs to publicly excoriate them. Instead, you have Netanyahu writing legislation to turn every facet of our intelligence and military over to Israel. This is just, the boldness of it, Edward, is just crazy.
Yeah, look, you know, you and I, we're analysts, and we knew that when Trump won, it wasn't going to be all, roses and petals. It was going to be a difficult battle that a lot of people will have infiltrated the Trump administration, neocons, people with different agendas. And I think, unfortunately, Trump was manipulated by neocons and Bibi Netanyahu into focusing on this threat of nuclear destruction from Iran, which, look, this, you and I have been following this for, you know, 10, 15 years. Bibi Netanyahu has been warning about Iran's going to get a nuke in 2 weeks for 10 years. So clearly, that should never have been the excuse for doing it. And I go back to the beginning. The war, in the fog of war, remember what they said initially, both Rubio and Trump, in the first 2 days of the war, that Israel was going to do a strike without us. We had to join them. So that I believe is the truth, that Israel just kind of just did this on their own, and we rode along. And they did
strike first. I was told Trump had decided to back off again, so Israel struck to drag us in.
Yeah. So that's the truth of the matter. Now, you know, the spin is we can't let them have a nuke. And the Straits of Hormuz were open before the war. Now they're closed. So you know, Trump needs to extricate himself from this situation. If he doesn't and this drags on, we're going to have 11% headline inflation by August, and you can kiss the Senate and the House goodbye. That's just a de facto situation. It's already pretty grim, according to the poll numbers, but he could pull it out if he gets out of the war, starts focusing on domestic issues, maybe gets back to some of the promises of his base and starts to get back to, you know, the business of the nation rather than the business of war.
Well, more of attacking Netanyahu, because this is the zeitgeist issue. Instead, the White House, famous UFC fighters that were invited can't come to the fight because they criticized Israel and said, you know, Israel's involved with Epstein. And now Trump has joined himself to the hip to this. And the whole Epstein cover-up, it's not enough now. Trump and the Republicans have to decide, are we going to be on the Israeli payroll and do whatever they say, or are we going to face political destruction? I mean, it's really simple. And finally, people have woken up to the deep state. They've woken up to corruption. There's a lot of different, you know, constellations of it. But the public is focused in, not just here, but around the world, on Israel itself. And there couldn't be a worse campaign issue than Trump being basically Netanyahu's bitch.
If you look at, I look at Twitter and X, or, you know, what's now called X, and there's a lot of that sentiment out there, Alex. A lot of former MAGA Trump supporters that have soured on Trump, you know, that's one of their talking points. And I see the memes all over the place, and Trump needs to figure out a way to make that meme moot. And like you said, that leaked phone call with Bibi, where he basically swore at him. We need more of that. We need to see more public statements of separation.
If you were advising Trump, and then the vice president, others who watch the show, I'll leave it at that. What would your advice to be to him? Take your time. What would you say to President Trump right now?
Get a deal done. Understand that the longer this drags out, the worse it's going to get into the midterms, especially with headline inflation, and probably the equity markets will not like 11% inflation. So you need to get a deal done as fast as you can. You need to politically, in whatever fashion and way you want to do it, is to kind of distance yourself you don't have to distance yourself from Israel, but Bibi Netanyahu per se. I mean, he's just a leader in a state known as Israel. And you don't have to like walk away from Israel, but you can walk away from Bibi. Thirdly, he needs to focus on a lot of the campaign promises, mass deportations. This is one of my pet peeves. There needs to be some accountability that for COVID and the vaccines, which that has been kind of an issue that has been not talked about in this administration. I think a Truth and Reconciliation Commission would go a long way to improving his poll numbers. So, you know, these are a couple of quick fixes he could do and try to get his poll numbers up into the midterms.
Well, that's right. He needs to get back to America first. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Back to America first. And, you know, I know there, you know, what do we got? 4 months before the midterms, 5 months. There's plenty of time to fix this. But the number one priority is get out of this war, because the markets are already discounting that you're going to do it, and the oil markets are as well. If it doesn't happen for whatever reason, oil's going to explode higher, and the equity markets are going to revolt. I think the equity markets are going to revolt anyways, because the economy's so bad, and the AI bubble could burst at any moment.
Well, and I would also advise Trump, whatever demon is on his shoulder telling him to make statements like, I don't care about Medicare and Medicaid. I'm a wartime president. I don't care about the average American's economic problems they face. The quotes are even worse. All I care about is war. You couldn't come up with, I could be the Israeli president. Maybe I'll be the Israeli prime minister soon. I mean, if I was John Podesta and I wanted to hurt Trump and I said, if we could, you know, make him say things, I would be saying the things he said. When I see that, that is not the old Trump. This new Trump is literally blowing his feet off with a 12-gauge political shotgun.
Look, I'm not going to tell Donald Trump what to do or what to say, but what I'd love for him to do is maybe pause before he speaks and just have a little more discernment and understand that some of these comments, while He may be joking. He may be flippant. They get blown up and recreated and go viral all over social media. And a lot of what he says is taken out of context, but it doesn't matter. You need to have some, again, I don't want to tell him what to do, but I would have a little more discernment in what came out of my mouth.
I'll pull the exact quote up. He said it on TV. I mean, it's, I don't care about the average American's economic problems. All I care about is stopping a nuke. And it just drives me crazy because obviously he's way better than Democrats. I mean, what do you think things were going to be like if Kamala was in right now? What was their plan?
Oh, their plan was to prosecute and get rid of people like you and anybody else that was a thorn in their side. We'd be already cascading towards wealth confiscation. We would be seeing illegals swarm the nation. Who knows what the equity markets would be doing, but the economy would be the civil war may have already started if they were in. So, you know, Trump was way better than Kamala. The best thing he did was shut down the border. That was huge. Now, the mass deportations haven't happened, but, you know, at least that was like, you know, putting a splint on the broken leg. I'd like to see a cast, but at least we got a splint. And that was a great move. Kamala Harris was an abject disaster. She would have been a puppet. The deep state would have been telling her what to do, much like under the Biden administration. The one thing I appreciate about Trump is he, you know, his openness and honestness about what he's doing. So, you know, he doesn't appear to be sneaky. He kind of wears it on his sleeve. But that statement you quoted, I researched that. I when I saw that, I was horrified. But there was context around it. You know, he obviously cares about the plight of the average consumer and citizen, but the context was subtle and he didn't pick the correct words. He said, we can't let them have a nuclear weapon because he believes, I think, that they're on the precipice of getting one and that it would be devastating. So that's what he cares about at the moment. I don't think he means that I don't care about it for all of eternity, but it didn't matter. It came out wrong. It sounded awful and people went with it. And, you know, it doesn't matter. Once that gets out there, you know, people like me that want to like try to help him, it's gone in the wind.
Well, I was about to say, I said it at the time and I said it now. He meant like the main threat is this. I got to deal with that first, but he can't then give them sound bites like that. That's my point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You cannot give your opposition sound bites. And also people on the fence, you know, the independent voters that voted for Trump, they see that they're not going to research it. And they say, hey, he doesn't care about me. I'm out. I'm not voting for him again. It's always on the margin. And you have to be very careful with your words. And you just have to have, I wish he had a little bit more discernment, but again, I'm not going to tell Donald J. Trump what to do.
All right. I want to come back and talk about the midterms, different angles of the economy. I mean, you can't really make predictions because things could change, but on the current trajectory where we are, if what's the time frame with Wall Street, if they think the war isn't going to end, what if the mullahs are just belligerent because they know they're winning the war of attrition? What happens if they continue to demand all of our military bases be evacuated, $500 billion, you know, all the rest of it? Then every time Trump has a deal, Israel strikes different areas of the Middle East. So what will Israel do to try to keep us in this war? Because Netanyahu's already been convicted, folks. He needs this to stay in power. Remember, this is all about Netanyahu and his own personal power. Absolutely insane. Edward Dowd's our guest, and you can find him on Dowd Edward on X. Be sure and follow him there. I'm Alex Jones. They'll be right back. G. Edward Griffin, the legend, is coming up next hour. But whatever you do, share the live feeds now at Real Alex Jones on X and rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. Plugged for about 90 seconds at the end of the first hour. Didn't plug any last hour. And I'd raise that point. I'd say, oh, no, good, I didn't plug. It's bad I didn't plug. But I didn't want to interrupt that guest. That's how we fund this operation. If I just plugged twice an hour, we've done the math, we'd have plenty of funds around this place. And I can then hire more crew, more stuff. But I don't do it, so we're almost in the red again. So be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny. And the products really work because we want to sell you something that is going to be great, that's good for you, that blows you away, so you go, man, that Alex Jones was right again. Not just about what he covers and says, but the products. Our T3 iodine is not instant gratification. It takes about 2 weeks on average for it to kick in. It is the missing link. Most people are iodine deficient. The iodine that's in the environment, most of it's bound, meaning it's not atomic. It's not pure on the periodic table. It is bound to a whole bunch of other stuff, and you don't absorb it properly. This is atomic iodine. It does everything. Now, again, you die without oxygen in 4 minutes. Everybody knows this. 4 minutes without oxygen, the average person's dead. Some people quicker. Without water, you die in about 4 days. Out in the desert today, most people die in about 45 days without food. Now, why is that? Well, because the food has the vitamins and minerals in it. And I know I'm talking to you like you're 5 years old. I know most of you get this. For others that don't, iodine, you can look it up, is one of the essential elements that without iodine, you die. Now, in the 1920s, they noticed about a 15-20 point IQ reduction, particularly in the Midwest, and massive spikes nationwide of child deformities, birth defects. And they did a bunch of big government studies and found that people that lived on coastal cities and that ate a lot of fish had higher IQs and basically almost no deformities. And they went, oh, it's the iodine. So they started putting a cheap form that's bound, but you still get some of it, but sodium fluoride, I think it's the one, in the salts. When I was a kid, it still said Morton salts, iodine added. You know, the little girl with the umbrella, and it says when it rains, it pours. This is the super version of that. Just a few drops a day. It takes 2 weeks on average to kick in for the average person. And your skin, your stamina, your libido. I remember, like, gosh, time flies, like 18 years ago or something, I met Dr. Edward Grip, really smart guy, total visionary. And he said, listen, you need to start taking atomic iodine. And he'd come out with the only one. And he said, you should sell this private label. And I said, okay. He said, you know, you got some of those sunspots on your face. And I was like 38 then or so. And I didn't have bad skin, but I did have some sunspots, brown spots and stuff that weren't freckles. You know, I call them liver spots. And he said, all this other stuff will happen, your libido, everything. He goes, it's about 2 weeks for it to kick in. And right at about the 2 week mark of the average person, you'll kind of feel crappy for a day or two. It's not like you have a cold or the flu, but you feel kind of groggy and tired. That's when it shifts in the cells, the mitochondria. And then a lot of toxins will get pushed out. You might even break out or something. But he said, after that, you'll feel incredible. 2 weeks later, I go, man, I feel like crap today. I have no energy. Lasts about a day. And then when I woke up the next day after feeling sick the day before, it was like I'd been carrying, you know, one of my kids on my shoulders. I'd carry them until they were like 5 or 6. Sometimes it'd be exhausting, but you take them off your shoulders, it feels so good. That's what it felt like. You're insane if you don't get this, and it funds our operation. And I only sell stuff that works, but it's not instant gratification. 2 weeks. Now be careful with it. Talk to your physician before, because if you've got some different thyroid issues, it can cause problems. In most cases, it helps, but talk to your physicians. This isn't a game. And so a small percentage of people that can do some weird stuff. So be careful. This isn't, I'm not selling placebo here. I only sell stuff that kick you like a mule in a good way. Be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny.
Of our dear life.
surprised me with it. I guess I'm Colonel Kurtz now. You know, to listeners out there, I never try to be sensational. Reality is way more sensational than made-up crap. But I've studied history, and I've been doing this 32 years. I've never seen so much craziness, so many dangers, but also a lot of awakening, good things, the establishment being exposed. But that just makes all these power groups that much more wild and crazy-eyed. And as Netanyahu gets cornered, he then writes legislation to turn over linkages into the entire military and all of our secrets and weapons. And then you've got more and more hysterical statements out of the AI company heads. Oh, God, take over. It's going to kill us all. Replace all the humans. And then AI escaping human control. Bots outnumber people online for the first time. Overhead shot, guys. It just goes on and on. Anthropic calls for pause of global AI development. Artificial intelligence company Anthropic suggested yesterday a global pause on building the most powerful AI systems as the latest models are beginning to show signs, it's already happened, they could escape from human control. Well, then what happens with China? Because that's the problem, is you have an arms race of this. Then you have an investment bubble black hole. And so as it becomes the whole economy, there's more pressure to basically grease the skids because we're a one-crop economy. And then that forms more public opposition to it. And so do we want it to bust? Do we not want it to bust? Because I don't like bubbles, but we're living in one. Edward Dowd, really smart financial geopolitical analyst. How does AI fit into all this with these new developments?
Well, let's talk about bubbles. Bubbles are a feature of capitalism, not a bug. And what do I mean by that? Asset bubbles build infrastructure. The initial builders of the infrastructure get wiped out because competition and market forces come in. There's usually a hype cycle involved. People get excited about new technologies. They dream too far in the future. They overfinance it. It crashes, and then productivity comes. The railroads are a classic example. Railroad bubble. We got the railroads built. The initial investors lost a lot of money. Out of the ashes came a couple giant companies. Same thing with the dot-com boom. A lot of capital chased it. The build-out of the internet, too much fiber built, and boom, bust. And then we had the companies that rose out of the ashes of the dot-com boom were Google, that IPO'd after the dot-com crash, Facebook, Meta. Amazon was one of the only survivors but took advantage of it. Apple iPhone could not have existed without all the cheap broadband that was built with the asset bubble of the dot-com days. So now we have an AI bubble. And so it is going to burst because it's too expensive. We're going to find out it's a commodity. There's too much capital chasing it. And then the true benefits of AI come later. What Anthropic is saying, I think, is a lot of hype and scare. They're actually kind of calling for a pause because I think they understand that the debt markets are starting to revolt against all this AI build out. It's becoming more expensive to finance. The private credit markets are shut down. So I think they want some government intervention to come help them out and subsidize them. So this is all, you know, pre-IPO hype and scare. There's a lot of nonsense as these companies are going to IPO. The other thing that people need to understand is that prior to this year, AI had been subsidized, meaning the cost to deliver AI to you has been subsidized by the losses they're taking. But they wanted adoption growth. So they subsidized the cost of it to get adoption growth and make everybody use it. Then they're going to go IPO. So to get their loss statements looking better, they started raising the prices of compute to the enterprises to show a couple of good quarters before their IPO filings and S1 filings. And now the clients, the enterprises, are saying, "Whoa, this is too expensive. This is not what I signed up for." So AI is not going to have an ROI on it. The infrastructure is going to probably collapse. Timing is uncertain. But then out of the ashes come the real AI companies. That's what I believe, and it's going to take time. It's just like it's every cycle. This is just capitalism 101. That's a funny video, Alex.
Well, I mean, I think indicative of all of this is we're supposed to worship these robots. Turn everything over to them during COVID. They can go to the ball game. We can. And you got robots killing people and attacking people and then kicking this kid in the stomach, out of control. Robot karate kicks a child in the stomach while performing martial arts. Let's play the clip with audio. Here it is.
Oh,
And see, it doesn't feel bad it did it. And so in the future, when AI makes a mistake or is programmed to do it, it can then have who gave the order wiped. And then how do you punish? How do you put AI in prison? How do you hold it accountable? It's the perfect agent of tyranny. And, of course, these globalists, they're all programming it for their control. I'm not even that worried about it getting out of control. I'm worried about them claiming it gets out of control to commit any type of crimes they want, Edward Dowd.
Yeah, look, I think robotics are very hyped up at the moment. And I've talked to some smart investors. There's debate as to the path of robotics. A lot of smart people are saying a lot of the current companies are zeros, meaning their stocks and their debt are going to go to zero because it's not ready for prime time. The costs to mass produce, the maintenance upkeep, the training of these are way overhyped, and we're decades away from the robots.
Well, I was about to say though, we're the only species that controls its environment and decides how it wants to live. At least we have the potentiality to do that. Why are we told day one, you're replaced, it's over, all the money has to go to this, AI gets 100 times the power you get, it can have all the toxic waste it wants, but you can't go on vacation or have a dog that eats meat or a cow because it's bad. We should just reject all this. We're day one, we're so used to fighting with other humans, but we're told now by these elite humans, these machines are above the law, they can do whatever they want. We need to have some serious territorialism and prejudice towards the way machines are being rolled out, not as anti-technology troglodytes or Luddites, but as people that are directing our own development in a more pro-human, natalist move. But exactly, if it wasn't for tax incentives and forced acceptance and the ESG is trying to force robot hamburger places here in Austin 5 years ago, no one goes to them, they close down. Whataburgers, McDonald's, you name it. They are desperately trying to make us eat fake meat. It's just Henrietta Lacks cancer meat, literally, folks. Can't make this up. Everything they're pushing is just so anti-human. I don't know why the Fortune 100 can't get back on board with humanity and get off this eugenics kick they've been on for 150 years.
Yeah, look, AI is, in many ways, is a huge narrative, okay? At the end of the day, it's a large language model that hallucinates. It can do some coding. It can do a lot of good things, but it's not ready for prime time. And we're just discovering that as the cost of it is not producing ROI for these companies. But all it does is
regurgitate back what other humans have said. And in simple things or poetry, it sounds great, or a song. But when it gets down into real stuff, it's scooping authoritative data. Most authoritative data was human-made propaganda. So it's completely hallucinating and retarded.
One of the biggest sources for AI lately, because they require new content all the time, they've already scraped the internet. Reddit seems to be a big supplier of AI. And so, like, if you're going to say AI is great, well, a lot of their engine is driven by Reddit slop. So let's be honest about what we're doing here. But the point I wanted to make was in the hype, in 22, 23, and 24, the hype was it's going to take all your jobs. And that was a clever message by these AI companies because that got CEOs and Fortune 500 companies interested. Well, hey, and so the CEOs and the CFOs and the C-suite then all started AI pilot projects and told their underlings to get, to figure out a way to save money. Well, the underlings...
Yeah, they're told it's the ultimate secret weapon. We've got to get it first to position them to go buy the AI to prop it up.
Right. Well, they thought that selfishly for their own companies, they could save money, increase the bottom line and get fatter bonuses. So as AI was rolled out, there's directives from on top to people down below to go develop AI pilots. But the guys in the C-suite don't want to hear bad news. So that's why a study came out from MIT last year that there's no ROI, but the CEOs don't want to hear that. So they've kind of perpetuated this madness themselves because they've all bought into the narrative. And again, it is the same thing during the dot-com boom. Everybody had a dot-com plan. Real brick and mortar companies were scared because their stocks were going down because everybody was buying internet stocks and they all had, internet plans and it was part of their annual reports. Like what are they going to do to stem the tide of their losses to all these,
And you're right. The losses didn't come right away. It was 20 years later when Amazon was totally dominant. It's what comes out of this later and the oligopolies then that's the issue. So what is your timeline? I mean, not making a prediction, but on current trajectory, When does and how does the AI bubble go down?
Well, it could go down. Look, the consensus on Wall Street seems to be the bubble will stay propped up until after the IPOs. So we got SpaceX next Friday. We got Anthropic and OpenAI coming sometime in the fall. And the consensus seems to be the AI bubble is going to float around until after that, and then it will burst. So, you know, my best guess is six to 8 months. We'll see. It could burst before that. Timing is uncertain.
Yeah, you know that. But, I mean, you know, stuff like this loves to go down in like October, November, right? But you're thinking maybe January, February.
Well, it could go. If the bubble bursts before these companies can IPO, that's devastating. That's devastating to the whole story. Wall Street's going to try its mightiest to prop this up. I mean, Goldman Sachs came out with a projection for SpaceX revenues for their space AI, just the AI part of the company. They said that their revenues by 2030 are going to grow 100x. So that implies a doubling of revenue every 7.22 months. Now, you know, to be fair, Anthropic and OpenAI did that kind of growth from very low numbers initially, but now we're in the law of large numbers, and we now have competition, and it's a whole different ballgame. And now the costs and ROI are uncertain. So I would suspect that 100x revenues by 2030 is perhaps a tad aggressive.
Yeah, for people that don't understand, I know most of you do. It's easy to start a company and it made $1 1 month, and 6 months later you're making $10,000 a month, and you can say you had a giant increase. But once you scale up and basically saturate the market and there's competition, I'm no expert like you, but that sounds like fraud to me. 100x growth.
Yeah, and I know what Goldman's doing. They're telling people, well, Anthropic and OpenAI had this kind of growth. Well, they did, but from the very small bases. And secondly, they subsidized the product to show adoption. So if they were pricing it at its true cost, we wouldn't see that kind of growth.
That's right, because they've been purely in the R&D phase, not even profitability. So they're dumping all this outside money and claiming that's a profit, but it's not really a profit.
No, right. When you subsidize your product, you can sell a hell of a lot more of it. That's just economics.
Well, that's the famous thing politicians do, is they pay somebody just to buy a bunch of their books. They sit in a warehouse, but nobody really bought them.
Correct. And that there's a lot of people who suspect that's what's going on with a lot of the AI infrastructure build. There's been a lot of funny business going on with NVIDIA chips. And there's people that speculate that there's a million or maybe even 2 million worth of NVIDIA chips sitting in warehouses that have not been deployed into data centers. And let's talk about the data center issue for a second.
I was about to ask that. That's my next question. About this has really pissed people off at the grassroots, but then the AI companies go, oh, no, it's Chinese propaganda. Undoubtedly, they've jumped on it. But at the same time, no, this is a real grassroots. People are pissed off.
Yeah, I put out a post a couple of weeks ago saying there are those who believe it's Chinese propaganda, and there are those who believe it's organic. Both can be true. There can be a smidge of, astroturfing from China, but these protests are genuine, and it doesn't help that the bureaucratic apparatus of Homeland Security is doing what they did under the Biden administration, criminalizing anybody who wants to criticize AI. That's not a good precedent. I don't think it's per se the Trump administration. I think it's just this is what these guys like to do. They like to pretend they're doing something, and they're.
Well, I mean, take Altman. He sues towns that vote against his data center.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this is going to be an election issue into the midterms, and we're giving it to Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, who, you know, I hate to say it, but not in the Bernie Sanders wanting to own 50% of the company, but Elizabeth Warren has been talking about data centers, and you know. I don't usually agree with her on anything, but I think, you know, we need to look at this very hard and who's going to share in the costs. Like when you go into a community and build this, you know, ginormous data center that's going to suck up all the water and double the electricity rates of the local people, there has to be a debate about this. There has to be a debate. And if you're going to shut down debate, people are going to get angry, and they seem to be getting angry all over the country.
Well, we know China funded the carbon tax garbage and shutting down our power plants with the left. And they've clearly jumped on the bandwagon because they don't want us to have AI dominance in the race. But they just jumped on a wave. It has nothing to do with China. These big, giant, ugly things, the power prices explode. You've got, you'd be 3 miles away. It sounds like a giant beehive, cross between nails on a chalkboard. I mean, I actually stopped by one of these. I was just getting gas. I was like, what's that noise? And I talked to the guy that worked there. He goes, no, that's a data center 2 miles away. I was like, it's like a train going by your house 24 hours a day. Destroys all the home values. Why the hell are they so loud?
Yeah, it destroys the home values. They're super loud. The other thing, I saw a clip of an EPA administrator talking about the water. The runoff water is contaminated, and they don't know what to do with it, and there's really no policy about that. So, you know, they're using a lot of water, and then there's contaminated water on the other side.
And Trump keeps trying to give him liability protection in legislation, executive orders, to be above the law. I mean, wow. I mean, so all of our industries are under heavy regulation, but they have the magic wand. They can do whatever they want.
Well, they get the magic wand, and if you try to collect rainwater on your ranch, you're going to get a visit from the EPA. I mean, it's absurd. I mean, they got drones flying around to see if people are collecting rainwater. But God forbid an AI company doesn't get regulated. I mean, this is why Trump was elected, to end this kind of nonsense, not to propagate this.
What is your overall prognosis on Trump? He's gone in 2.5 years. And I don't care about his legacy, but, I mean, he cares, so we can use that against him to get him to wake up. I think he's starting to figure out how he's gone from being overall seen as a populist leader to now being an establishment Epstein-class scumbag.
Yeah, you know, look, he can still pull it out. There's plenty of time. Pull a 180 on a bunch of things. And again, you know, you don't need to turn on the state of Israel. You can turn on one individual who's one man, one political leader. You don't need to walk away from Israel. So there's a lot of things he can do, and he could tomorrow decide to have a Senate hearing committee, or let his people like Bobby Kennedy and the administration start talking about what happened under the Biden administration with COVID mandates and the vaccines. That would bring back a lot of the MAHA people who've turned tail on Trump, unfortunately.
And we didn't hit that, but I mean, obviously, the Senate hearings, wow. Is that not devastating, all the evidence of turbo cancer, and they knew it erased the immune system? I mean, that is something good, getting Trump in. That's all Kennedy. But to have federal agency heads literally talking like you and I and scientists that have exposed this, that's really got to scare Big Pharma.
Oh, absolutely. Look, the tide is turning on that. I mean, look, when I wrote my book, there was about 30% of the country that loved me because they hadn't taken the vaccine. The other 70% thought I was crazy and cuckoo for coconuts. As we've rolled through time, more and more people have come up to me and said, yeah, I think you were right. I regret taking the vaccine. It's a slow process. And I think there were some poll numbers showed to Trump saying that, the MAHA vaccine issue was a non-winner. Those were bad polls. The real poll numbers are that people would be so in favor of an open, honest discussion of this that the MAHA people who have kind of left in droves of Trump, that, a lot of the MAHA people were liberals and they supported Trump. To get them back, you really need a truth and reconciliation about what happened under the Biden COVID years. And go look at Fauci. They buried the FDA buried the deaths that were occurring with children and younger people. There's a whole host of things. They knew this thing was killing people, and they didn't care, and they kept it going.
Well, the Senate hearing is just absolutely amazing, and it's true. It's paradoxical. I'm really mad at Trump, trying to get him back on track, but I look at the Democrats just waiting, acting like they're populist and good guys, and they're total, absolute, Cloward and Piven collapse the country, totalitarian takeover artist. And when I imagine what it'll be like if they win the House and Senate, and what they're going to do in the state of the world and the way they approach things, I don't think they even realize that if we don't stabilize the world economy and don't make it through this, that it just, you look at what's going to happen in the world, it's going to be so explosive.
Yeah, look, it's already explosive, and we just don't see it because there's a lot of happy talk propaganda. Hey, look at the S&P 500. Everything's fine. It's not fine. Alex, you know that. You talk to people. jobs are hard to come by, layoffs are increasing because they claim it's AI, but it's not. It's part AI, it's part the slowing of the economy. Advertising revenue, I suspect, at Google and Meta is going the wrong way because the economy is so soft. And, you know, when you have small businesses that were devastated by the COVID years not coming back, you have people that are running gig economy jobs, three jobs. One of my friends is looking at investing in a company that will, for a gig employee to get hired for $10, but they have to take a photograph of their face every month and they'll get healthcare insurance. And the scheme is that company will sell, the data to an AI company, and that's how you get the insurance. So this is where we're at. You're going to sell your facial data to get insurance. It hasn't launched yet, but that those are the ideas out there. It's insanity.
It's digital prostitution. It's putting us on the blockchain, in our human behavior, human locomotion. That's the Bill Gates patent. Edward Dowd, incredible job. Thank you so much for joining us. Dowd, Edward on X. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Take care.
Well, the great G. Edward Griffin is set to join us in the next hour, a living legend, to get a 35,000-foot view on the globalist, on the wars, on the private Federal Reserve, on the economy, on the central bank digital currencies, on everything that is affecting us today. Look for that in just a few minutes and take the live feeds right now from Real Alex Jones on X and rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show line and share those feeds, because that's how we reach new people and tell them when they get it to share it as well. This is the forbidden information. Today is the last day at midnight. So you only got like 11 hours from midnight central. Everything's at least 40% off at thealexjonesstore.com. All the supplements, everything. Up to 50% off. A bunch of stuff is half off. Amazing deals. Get the methylene blue, the Shilajit, our bovine colostrum, our T3 iodine, our atomic defense immune booster. These are the most amazing supplements. Widest selection of Patriot apparel. Tonight the sale ends. 40-50% off site-wide sale ends tonight. Also ending tonight. It's the last day. It only happens 1 week out of the month when we have a new sweepstakes super vehicle. And the old sweepstakes, you know, ends tonight for the custom H1 Hummer. But you got a chance tonight's the last night to get in also for the 2026 Dodge Charger Scat Pack. That'll be the offer for the next, you know, month after that. But this is that sweet spot where you get put in 100x per dollar you spend at the store in the sweepstakes to win the custom H1 Hummer, the 2026 Dodge Charger Scat Pack, plus $20,000 cash. Tonight is the last night to do that. Every purchase you make puts you in 100x times at thealexjonesstore.com. But regardless, you want it because of the supplements. I suggest the T3 iodine and the ultramethylene blue. Take action now.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900 and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Manufacturers, miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3-5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is. Type in what's wholesale gold and silver. And then you get it from them with a little processing fee. And then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. kpm.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation, email. You can call 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
In just 6 minutes, we're going to be talking to G. Edward Griffin, one of a whole bunch of radio stations, join us at 6 after. Can't wait to talk to him, a living legend, redpillexpo.org, redpilluniversity.org. Can't wait to get his take on the future and what we can do to take on the globalists. But here's part of a longer John Bound report he did. So we'll share part of it right now. Be sure and watch the whole thing at X, Alex Jones, on rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShow live and share it. But Bound report, the Uniparty agenda is pure treason. Here it is.
Gentlemen, ask for a recorded vote.
Yes, sir.
A recorded vote's requested. Recorded vote is ordered and will be postponed to a later date. Later time.
Maybe a later date, too.
In a brazen display of foreign influence peddling that should send chills down the spine of every sovereign American, the House Armed Services Committee today advanced Section 224 of the Fiscal Year 2027 National Defense Authorization Act, the so-called United States-Israel Defense Technology Cooperation Initiative. As many called it, the first step toward merging U.S. and Israeli military capabilities in ways that will be nearly impossible to unwind, all while Americans foot the bill and watch their sovereignty erode.
Mr. Chairman, the American people are tired of the arrogance and insolence of Prime Minister Netanyahu telling America what we should do. The entire country of Israel has a GDP that is less than a single town in my district. Mr. Netanyahu actually wrote to a member of Congress to put this Section 224 into the bill. He says, I know that aid is unpopular in America. I know that even Republicans don't want aid. So here's what you got to do. Quote, let's create a new framework. This is Netanyahu telling us what we should do. A new framework of joint defense cooperation, co-development, co-production, and mutual investment in areas including advanced missile defense, artificial intelligence, cybersecurity, and next generation military platforms. Why? Because he doesn't want Congress to vote on the aid. He just wants it fused in the bill. Last I checked, Netanyahu doesn't have a seat on this committee, Mr. Chairman. We need to reject an amendment which is language is coming directly from the Israeli Prime Minister. And we ought to have any aid have a vote of the American people.
Israel is our closest ally in the Middle East, and our cooperative programs enhance U.S. national security by giving our warfighters access to cutting-edge technologies. Section 224 doesn't create any new programs within the Department of Defense. It simply designates a single senior official to coordinate existing initiatives. Section 224 actually improves oversight and accountability of these programs by designating a single official responsible for them. Claims that this provision somehow cedes authority to a foreign government are simply ridiculous.
I strongly disagree with the notion that this is Congress just bowing to what Netanyahu wants. This is to our benefit. Now, I would suggest, and this just occurred to me this morning, we ought to be doing the same thing with Ukraine. Because Ukraine is another partner that is having to fight and learning. We should develop drone technology, counter-drone technology, counter-missile technology.
And then we should also remember the Hamas covenant of August 1988. And Article 7 provides to chase down every Jew behind a rock or tree until you find the last Jew behind a rock and kill him. That's their plan. But after that, they come after us. We already see that with the nuclear capability that Iran is trying to develop, with missile capability one day might even reach California. I yield back.
What it will do is build on an existing cooperative program that has been in place for years. And what it will ultimately do is help save American lives.
You know what? Stop right here. This Bound report's longer. And it's got all these excerpts from this hearing. This is so powerful. So after G. Edward Griffin leaves us, I'm going to play these excerpts from the hearing out of this report. But don't worry. If you're watching this as a tape, we'll play the whole report right now. This is just me live on air cutting in. You get the live show, you get the clips out of the show. But wow. I mean, you go read the bill. It says take over everything, intelligence, DARPA, lifetime fusion of all of our systems. And then they go, oh, it's just a deal we already had. It's no big deal. No, Netanyahu says he'll never need congressional money again because he'll be a partner with the Pentagon. How does the Pentagon, it's already with all the runaway trillions missing, go partner with the foreign government famous for stealing all our secrets?
I want to start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is rocket fuel. This is incredible. This is rocket fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Okay? Well, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop. And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. You understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
TheAlexJonesShow.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen right here on The Alex Jones Show.
All right, Deborah Griffin is connecting right now. And we just posted this report on X by John Bowen. I want to go back to the start of it and finish it here. But this is from the hearings yesterday where the Republicans moved the defense authorization bill forward. Netanyahu wrote Section 224. Go read for yourself, says all intelligence, live time telemetry, our satellites, weapons development, everything is fused in at once. And the Netanyahu says we won't need money anymore from Congress because we'll be co-owners of the Pentagon's weapons. A foreign leader writing our legislation, and you see the lapdog Republicans and some Democrats spinning it and lying about what Section 224 of the 2027 National Defense Authorization Act does. Go read it for yourself. This is incredible. This is a foreign coup. Here's John Bowen's report that you ever given.
Gentlemen, ask for a recorded vote.
Yes, sir.
A recorded vote's requested. Recorded vote is ordered and will be postponed to a later date. Later time.
Maybe a later date, too.
In a brazen display of foreign influence peddling that should send chills down the spine of every sovereign American, the House Armed Services Committee today advanced Section 224 of the Fiscal Year 2027 National Defense Authorization Act, the so-called United States-Israel Defense Technology Cooperation Initiative. As many called it, the first step toward merging U.S. and Israeli military capabilities in ways that will be nearly impossible to unwind, all while Americans foot the bill and watch their sovereignty erode.
Mr. Chairman, the American people are tired of the arrogance and insolence of Prime Minister Netanyahu telling America what we should do. The entire country of Israel has a GDP that is less than a single town in my district. Mr. Netanyahu actually wrote to a member of Congress to put this Section 224 into the bill. He says, I know that aid is unpopular in America. I know that even Republicans don't want aid. So here's what you got to do. Quote, let's create a new framework. This is Netanyahu telling us what we should do. A new framework of joint defense cooperation, co-development, co-production, and mutual investment in areas including advanced missile defense, artificial intelligence, cybersecurity, and next generation military platforms. Why? Because he doesn't want Congress to vote on the aid. He just wants it fused in the bill. Last I checked, Netanyahu doesn't have a seat on this committee, Mr. Chairman. We need to reject an amendment which is language is coming directly from the Israeli Prime Minister. And we ought to have any aid have a vote of the American people.
Israel is our closest ally in the Middle East, and our cooperative programs enhance U.S. national security by giving our warfighters access to cutting-edge technologies. Section 224 doesn't create any new programs within the Department of Defense. It simply designates a single senior official to coordinate existing initiatives. Section 224 actually improves oversight and accountability of these programs by designating a single official responsible for them. Claims that this provision somehow cedes authority to a foreign government are simply ridiculous.
I strongly disagree with the notion that this is Congress just bowing to what Netanyahu wants. This is to our benefit. Now, I would suggest, and this just occurred to me this morning, we ought to be doing the same thing with Ukraine. Because Ukraine is another partner that is having to fight and learning. We should develop drone technology, counter-drone technology, counter-missile technology.
And then we should also remember the Hamas Covenant of August 1988. And Article 7 provides to chase down every Jew behind a rock or tree until you find the last Jew behind a rock and kill him. That's their plan. But after that, they come after us. We already see that with the nuclear capability that Iran is trying to develop, with missile capability one day might even reach California. I yield back.
What it will do is build on an existing cooperative program that has been in place for years. And what it will ultimately do is help save American lives, American service members' lives in particular, and strengthen U.S. national security. I yield back my time.
Every year, America gives billions of dollars of our money to fund Israel's military. Now, even Republicans, even Benjamin Netanyahu, are talking about changing that. But don't buy it. It's a shell game. What Congress is trying to do now is find different ways of entrenching the relationship so deep in America's own defense industrial base that it's impossible to root it out. A new section of law in the National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, would give Israel unprecedented access to American technology and would force the United States military to integrate Israeli defense technologies into our own critical military supply chain, giving Israel incredible leverage over America's own defense priorities. We need to stop this before it starts.
And for my colleagues who say that this vote is actually not about the actual provision, it is. Emerging technology is not an abstraction. It means cyber. And that is one field where we have already had to act against an Israeli firm for turning its tools on us. In 2021, the Commerce Department blacklisted NSO Group, the maker of Pegasus spyware, for malicious cyber activity against U.S. interests after its software was used to target government officials and journalists. Two administrations from both parties left it on that list. And that same company is right now trying to buy its way into the American market. Fusing our defense and technology sectors together permanently with no conditions in the exact area where we have already been burned is reckless on its own terms. And it would do it through a must-pass bill with almost no oversight and with none of the human rights conditions that govern the rest of our security assistance. We already have laws on the books that tell us what to do in this situation. The Leahy Law prohibits assistance to foreign militaries that have committed gross violations of human rights. The Foreign Assistance Act prohibits arms transfers to countries that are restricting U.S. humanitarian aid, and Israel has been consistently blocking and restricting humanitarian assistance. These laws exist, and they're not being followed or enforced. And instead of demanding enforcement, this committee is proposing we reward that conduct.
The question occurs on the amendment offered by Mr. Khanna. So many as are in favor of his amendment will say aye. Those opposed say no.
No.
Pinch here, the noes have it. It fails.
Let's call it what it is, a captured committee greenlighting deeper entanglement as the $3.8 billion annual aid pipeline evolves into a congressional hostage situation. But that was only the beginning of the bought and paid for uniparty betrayal. Elsewhere, the will of 85% of the American people was defeated when the SAVE Act was hung out to dry by uniparty traitors, as four Senate Republicans joined in with the Democrats on the FU to the country. And not to be outdone, after walking our sovereignty down the plank and torching our election security, these criminals ended their night by passing the Ukraine Support Act, sending over $9 billion of our tax dollars overseas. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
Very powerful report at alexjoneslive.com. Be sure and share it. Bound report, the Uniparty agenda is pure treason. As you have the subheadline, watch Congress block an amendment that would remove Israeli control of the Pentagon and U.S. intelligence. Folks, I've read the subsections. The experts have looked at it. It's only five pages. It says every facet of everything given to Israel, lifetime surveillance of everything, integration of all the weapon systems, and then profit sharing, saying if Israel contributes anything to our weapon systems, they get co-ownership and money from it. And Netanyahu says, I won't need money from Congress anymore. We'll just own part of your Pentagon. I mean, the boldness of this. This is just out of Israel. Poll, anti-Netanyahu Zionist parties reached 62% seat majority the first time without Arab support. This is the first time this is happening, spelling an end to Netanyahu, but he's been around 25 years playing parliamentary games. I wouldn't hold your breath yet. And they got people like Ben Gavir, even worse than him. But, you know, everybody knows I've never been on the Israel beat. I mean, I suppose bad stuff Israel does and does some bad things. But I've been worried about, you know, the globalists and the Rothschilds and the Chi-Coms and the New World Order, the mad scientists. But Israel right now really is in this power vacuum trying to take over. We have him now, the legendary old friend of mine, G. Edward Griffin, redpillexpo.org, redpilluniversity.org, leading the movement to get grassroots citizens involved, educated, and taking action. He's pioneered full-length feature films, best-selling books since the 60s, exposing the whole globalist agenda. Just absolutely amazing. A living legend. Truly tomorrow's news today. And so I wanted to get him on about just the overall view of the world, where he sees things right now. Is he optimistic about the Great Awakening versus the globalist counterstrike of the Great Reset? His take on all these wars, the whole cashless society rolling out, AI, you name it. And coming up, we'll play a promo for it, the Red Pill Expo coming July 11th and 12th in Las Vegas. Amazing event. In fact, I'll probably try to be there. Been invited many times, but always been pinned down here. But maybe this time I'll be able to be there. G. Edward Griffin, so wonderful to see you, my friend. Thank you for the time today.
Well, Alex, thank you for being patient. And I'm sorry I'm tardy, but believe it or not, I guess this is my 94 years is finally catching up with where I am. So anyway, thanks for being patient. It's my pleasure and honor to be on your show again.
You also pioneered, back before anybody else was doing it, a health food nut, a vitamin mineral nut, a alternative cancer treatment nut, and everything you talked about in the 60s, 70s, 80s has all been vindicated now. So quite the pioneer we're looking at right here, brother. And hey, I was glad when I heard you were at the lake having a good time and forgot about the show. At 94, that's the secret. You have to have a little bit of fun, huh?
Oh, don't I wish. Yeah, I do have to have a, well, you know, that's the truth. I honestly, I used to joke about it, but now I honestly believe it. If you can't have fun doing it, then don't do it. That's life is too short. So,
well, I've been doing this 32 years and I feel young, but also feel like it's been a million years, but also just one day. It's kind of a paradox. But to see, how long have you been fighting the globalists? I mean, I know the story, but why don't you, and guys, pull up some of his vintage films, like G. Edward Griffin, Katanga, or you just type it in, or what's some of your other vintage films?
Oh, gosh, there's so many things. I've done things on the United Nations, on U.S. foreign policy, even Noah's Ark. Now, that's a little bit off the normal path. But, yeah, I started out on a political crusade when I discovered what was really going on in the world. And then I discovered the health field. A good friend of mine, Dr. John Richardson, ran into trouble with the government because he was saving lives, cancer patients. And they didn't like that idea because he was using a substance that was not approved. Heavens, you can't save somebody's life unless it's approved. You know? So I got into the health field, and I first thing you know, I was supposed to be an expert on cancer. Well, that's a joke because I'm the last person in the world to write about these things. But unfortunately, you know, I saw this clip that you were running before I came on and talking about the foreign policy of the United States and Israel and all the kabunchery that was going on. That's been going on forever, and it's just amazing me how long it's taking for people to see it. And so I guess my problem, if you want to call it that, and I think it's justly so, is that I have a crusader gene. And when I see these things happening, I think, by golly, I'm going to change that. And so there off I go. Anyway, I've had a lot of those, Alan, and they've been on many topics. And right now I think it's probably the most exciting time in all history, I might say that. Maybe people always say that when they're living through something. But I really think what's happening in the world today is going to make the biggest change to the human race of any period that we know of that the earth has been through. So I don't know how that happens. I just follow my instincts.
Incredible. Are you optimistic about where humanity is right now? Because obviously when you were first doing this, maybe 1% knew what was going on. I'd say 30-40% now are at least somewhat aware of the whole globalist agenda. I mean, so in one way I'm optimistic, but then I also get frustrated as the truth all comes out when you get vindicated. And still the persecution of us continues. Still the bad guys just grind on.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because that is, I think, the most important part about this whole picture is no matter how many exposés we have, no matter how much real information is leaking out and then suddenly hitting the front pages, no matter how much truth is bubbling up, this grinds on. And that's, I think, part of the plan. But anyway, back to your question, I think, am I optimistic or not? I am not optimistic, nor am I pessimistic. I like to think of myself as being realistic, which has a little bit of both in it. And what I mean by that in terms of our era today is that many ways of saying it. Old-time sayings usually are, if you never get burned, you will get burned. In other words, you have to feel the pain before you learn the lesson. And I think it's...
You got to learn how to lose to learn how to win.
You don't know what losing is until you lose. And you say, I don't want to do that again. The reason I'm bringing that up is because I think in most of my life, I was born into the America that I read about in the school books. I thought I was. And then I discovered later on that wasn't true. I found out that our government had largely been infiltrated, you might call it. It's been affected, infiltrated, taken over in essence by people who were not really Americans in the sense of what their ideals were. They might be American citizens, but they're all of a sudden they were turning into the view of the global theater. They wanted to be global leaders, not American leaders, and they felt that America had too much advantage, and they wanted to whittle it down and bring it to her knees so she could join all the rest of all the other countries and all the other world. And then the new world order, the government, you know, the world government would be the new thing. And so a lot of our leaders that we thought were our leaders were not. They were really leaders for the new world order, and we were just we were just a free ticket because we had a lot of money. And so they're still going on. They take our money and then squirt us in the face, you know.
And so, that's anyway, their cover story that they're redistributing to be loving and good. The truth is, when you get deeper in their documents, they're cold-blooded eugenicists, transhumanists, post-humanists, antinatalists, who are just absolutely, at the end of the day, psychotic Satanists.
I couldn't disagree with you more. Only thing I would add one more word to it as part of my crusade. I would add the word collectivist. Now, that sounds like very bland compared to your list of names. What is a collectivist and who cares? Well, one of the things I became aware of a long time ago is that the problem with the liberty movement, if you want to call it that, I always have trouble trying to find a good name for it. But the trouble for the ideology of liberty and freedom is that nobody knows how to define it. I came to the realization somewhere way, way back that, you know, Karl Marx had his Communist Manifesto and Das Kapital books. You could read what Karl Marx said about communism and socialism. And, you know, Adolf Hitler wrote his Mein Kampf. You could read what was fascism and Nazism all about. You know, it's all there. But the people who, like, what we represent, the idea is liberty and freedom. We have no statement of principles that what we believe in. All we do is just call names to other people. You know, they're the bad guys. They're not, not, I'm not saying any of the words that you use are wrong, because
that's
right.
We can't just oppose collectivism and all the forms of tyranny that come with their gang rule. We have to have an alternative system to challenge it.
And where is it? And so I'm working on a new book. I didn't tell anybody until recently. But I'm on a rip now. I want to get this thing done while I can. And it deals with that. We need a manifesto. And so I'm working on the book, and I can leak the title.
This
to
sounds
you
like it's going to be your magnum opus or something.
I hope so. It might be my magnum dopus. I don't know, but I'm really working on it, and I think I'm onto a track, and I'm calling it the Human Manifesto, an idea whose time has come. And
funny, when you said you didn't know a name for it, I was on with Elon Musk a few years ago, and he says, I don't know how you define our movement that's pro-natalist and pro. I said, it's Team Humanity. I mean, it's just, we're on Team Humanity, common sense, what's normal, what's wholesome, what's pro-human. I mean, so I think the new book, name of your book is awesome. Say the name again.
Well, The Human Manifesto.
Great.
It's not a communist manifesto. It's not a political ideology. It's a human ideology. And that's what freedom is all based on. And anyway, I'm working like crazy on it. I'm having fun doing it. And I can hardly wait to get it out there. It's going to be an amazing journey for people who are concerned about these things and have our view that the human is the center of things and not the collective, not the mechanism of a lot of people and big numbers and those with the most money and those with the most cannons and bullets and bayonets. No, those who are the most human, who, I could go on and on and on, but anyway, I like all the words you used, but people have trouble defining them. I mean, when I think about what our enemy, and I call our enemy the collectivists, and by that I mean you find collectivists in every country, and they're united on that, country to country. You find them in every religion, no matter what religion is, there are collectivists there, and they're usually the ones at the top. You find them in every race. You find them in every cross-section of society, and they're there everywhere. That's why we have trouble trying to name these people. We say, well, oh, they're the Americans, or they're the Chinese, or they're those bad peoples over there in some country, you know. Maybe Cuba. Who knows? That's closer, you know. So people start thinking of their opponents as racial groups or national groups.
No, I agree. I always try to make it about the policy and what they stand for. So why don't you define?
Yes.
Why don't you define a collectivist and how they operate? Because the average person thinks a collectivist is the poor person getting a welfare check. No. The ultra rich historically are the real collectivists, feudalism, where they collect it all from us and divvy it out on top, making themselves in control.
That's absolutely correct. And it's a secret because most people, even in our ranks, if you want to call them that, will say that, they don't know what capitalism is. They think that capitalism is just having a lot of money. And that's not true. Capitalism is not anything to do with how much money you have. It has to do with what kind of a society, an economic system you want to live under. And the wealthiest people in the world are not capitalists by pure definition. They're collectivists. They don't believe in competition. They believe in monopolies, you know? And it slays me when and I hear people trying to come up, struggle with words to describe their enemy, and they usually wind up just saying, well, they're the bad guys and we're the good guys. That's what it amounts to. And there, in a nutshell, is the reason we have been losing this bloody war and the reason that nothing is being changed, even though we're saying, look how bad it is. Oh, here's another. Oh, it's worse than we thought. Oh, but it still goes on and on and on because we're not picking out the collectivists who are running the show because some of them are on our team, we think. I mean, I'm just going to say it the way it is. How many of the Republicans that are involved in this battle, and they think they're battling the Democrats, what is the difference between those two groups, aside from their rhetoric? When it comes time to vote, they're in unity on all the principles, political and social principles, but they never talk about principles. They just talk about, well, we're Republicans or Democrats, or we're for liberty or we're for tyranny, you know, and those people are evil and we're good. And that's how the world has been running, is who are the good guys and who are the bad guys. And so
I know this. I mean, I was never delusional about Trump, and I saw him doing some good things compared to Democrats. But at the end of the day, the deep state came back in, and now he is worse than ever. And so we can get your take on that and talk about collectivist versus independent, free Team Humanity people. And then look at all these decades later, the Federal Reserve still there. all that's happening and how they're bringing in their new system of central bank digital currencies. The legend, G. Edward Griffin, is our guest. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Be sure to check out his website when we come back. We have the very best, strongest methylene blue from a medical-grade company that produces it for medical firms. Instead of using radioactive iodine, you know, to track stuff before surgeries, they're more and more using methylene blue. So I told Bigley, I said, get me whatever the highest rate it is. So they spent like 6 months and said, where is it? And they said, oh, this is a medical firm in Florida. They don't even sell this for human consumption, though it's great for that. And I'm like, okay, great. So some bottles of it came in, sat there about a week. Because I'd taken methylene blue before, barely felt any energy, knew it was really good for your mitochondria. And, you know, so it's time to sell it. We're going to do it. Kennedy's promoting it. This was a year and a half ago, almost years ago. They're like, hey, boss, you know, it's coming out tomorrow. You got to cut the ads. I went, well, I haven't tried it yet. This better be good. And so the show ends, and I had a glass of iced tea, just like I do today. Okay? And I take one dropper and put it in the iced tea. And so I only drink half the iced tea. So I took half a dropper, and all of a sudden I'm like feeling warm and I'm like electricity in my hands. I'd forgotten I'd taken it because I'm busy doing stuff after the show. And I go into the bathroom and I take my shirt off. And I turned red, not like hives, like it was distributed. I'm already pretty tan. I mean, tan good, a little bit Native American, some of the benefits of that. But I was like even redder, and I was like, what is this? And I'm like, electricity. I go, oh, that's what people say methylene blue does if it's really good. And I was like, and I started feeling so good. I was like, this is kind of scary. And about an hour into it, I go, I hope this stops because it was getting too good. That happened to Derek. He took it and said, I'm scared to take it. I thought he was on acid. So it's psychoactive everything, okay? I mean, this is not a freaking game, okay? It skips the oxygenation process, two steps in the cells, and all this other wild stuff. And so my medical doctor 6-7 years ago, wellness clinics all over the state, he's got like 5, 6, 7, 8 degrees. It's ridiculous. He said, and by the way, I want you to get methylene blue. It'll be USP grade. Just get it wherever. Just make sure it's USP grade, meaning it's, you know, medical grade. And I ordered it and tried it and really didn't feel any energy. When, you know, but I'm sure it was good for me, but I'd forget to take it. So I was like, okay, everybody wants methylene blue. I know it's good. We'll get it. We'll sell it. You'll get the best. I take this, and it is nothing like any methylene blue I ever took. I mean, it is strong. It's amazing. But just like Group told me with the pure atomic iodine that it would do great stuff with my skin, those liver spots I had, you can go back to shows 14, 15 years ago before Group came along, and you can see those spots I had. They're gone, baby. Gone. Literally gone. It's amazing. But within 2 weeks of taking the methylene blue, the guy I trained with was like, hey, are you on something? Did you get a steroid prescription or something? I was like, no. And he goes, well, what's going on? I mean, you're losing weight even quicker, and now you used to have trouble doing 10 pull-ups, and you just did 20. And man, you're like pushing like on the leg press twice what you were a month ago. What the hell's going on, dude? You're like glowing. And Sean Johnson told the story, and I said, it's methylene blue. He's a former Navy SEAL, Navy SEAL trainer, all that. He took it, gave his testimony about how within 30 minutes he was all zinned out and it was crazy and everything. This stuff really works. Now, when you first take it, you get the crazy effects psychologically. You always feel the energy some, but as it builds up, it's not even a tolerance. It's when your body hasn't had this, it really notices it. But the first time you take it, I say take a quarter dropper. Talk to your physician, too, because if you're on SSRIs or some other drugs, it'll make you jump off a building. I mean, people have taken methylene blue when they're on Prozac and they jump off buildings. Okay? That's rare. Usually women just pull their clothes off and start having orgies and stuff. I mean, I'm serious. Okay? I mean, like, you want to go cuckoo town, take this with SSRIs and you're going to cuckoo town. Because that's how strong this is. Okay? That's what this does. And we know it's good for you. But this is not a joke. Okay? I don't sell crap.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen. Right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Door.
fell in love with a Choctaw maid over in a Georgia store.
Look on screen, Key Edward Griffin. I'm telling you, folks, I don't care about basketball players and movie stars, but if it wasn't for people like him and that of that whole group of people, they're all gone. He is the last man standing of folks since the 60s fighting the globalist and that big wave we had then. And he was one of the most prominent, if not the most prominent. So many best-selling books, so many films, so many conferences, so many interviews. And I know this, the awakening's huge. We're starting to get the upper hand. I'm very optimistic overall just from the realism of what we know. But if it wasn't for people like G. Edward Griffin, we would not have a fighting chance in hell right now. And I'm just so blessed. The internet was coming along right when I started getting on air in 94, 95, 96, local radio, all of it. And to see what we've done together, and I know there's people out there in the audience who may do small things, big things, doesn't matter. But we need to understand what's going on and expose it. You have the Davos Group and all of them admitting the world's turned against us. Everybody hates us. Bill Gates is like a 99%, you know, negative rate. So I am optimistic because of what we have in front of us. But we've got to know these different globalist power blocks are going to pull out the stops. So, Jim Griffin, I got to ask a million questions here. Since you got a little bit late, you're in a little bit the next hour with us, and I appreciate you being gracious to do that. But let's talk about solutions first. So I want to do this right in the middle of the interview, then get into a bunch of big issues. Red Pill University started many years ago. So important. The Red Pill Expo, you only do a couple times a year or once. And that's coming up in July. I have a little promo here we're about to play. 1 minute promo for Red Pill Expo, which I've attended telephonically before. But I do want to try to get to this one this year because I promise you I would soon. So let's go ahead and play that short little promo for the Red Pill Expo coming up July 11th and 12th in Las Vegas this year. Here it is.
Tired of being misled by the mainstream narrative? It's time to take the red pill and discover perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Join us at Red Pill Expo 2026, happening July 11th and 12th in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hear from researchers, doctors, journalists, and speakers from around the world as they discuss global events, media narratives, health, technology, freedom, and much more. Whether you attend in person or watch online from the comfort of your home, Red Pill Expo gives you the opportunity to explore ideas and information outside the mainstream conversation. The event will be live streamed, and you can register for free online access today, or join us live in Las Vegas for the full experience. Visit redpillexpo.org to reserve your ticket, get event details, and make your plans for Red Pill Expo 2026.
So talk about what the redpilluniversity.org does, and then this expo, and then I want to go where you want to go, because you've been a true visionary, and it's just great to have you here. And I got some of my questions I want to hit. I noticed you started going into Israel. And you and I both have always said oppose ideology, don't make it about a group. But Israel clearly, openly, is doing something China wouldn't do, the EU wouldn't do, because they can hide behind the anti-Semitism thing. They are really making a run at primarying anybody that doesn't want unlimited money to Israel or war, at taking over and merging with the Pentagon and research and development. I mean, I beware our own military-industrial complex. Eisenhower warned up. Now it'll be the U.S.-Israeli military-industrial complex. I mean, this is crazy.
It is crazy from our point of view, and yet we put up with it. And why is that? Well, it's because we're not in control. We're given quite a bit of leeway still on the ability to talk about it and complain about it and make recommendations about it and call for action and all of that. But when it comes to removing the collectivists who are in positions of authority, we don't know how to do that. We don't have any idea how it came to pass. We don't know how to undo it. Well, I think we do. It's just that it's not being allowed. If I were to try and put up everything I think I know about the very thing I'm talking about, how they took over our country from the top down, not from the bottom up, but from the top down. Well, both, actually. It was the pincers movement, because they took over the educational system a long time ago to train all the future leaders, which they've succeeded now in doing. So it's a strategy that they have achieved, and they wrote about it in those old days. I ran across all these old books back in the day when when all the tycoons were taking over everything, and it was no longer money, it was political. There was a change that the banking fraternity decided they had all the money. In fact, they succeeded in getting Congress to allow them to make the bloody stuff. And now they make the money. People think the Federal Reserve System is a government agency. It ain't. It's a private cartel. People don't know that. They still don't know about it. Many of them don't want to know about it. That's the problem. They can go on with all the problems. But now we come to the question of what are we going to do about it? And I think that the secret is to, first of all, get an ideology that we can all say to each other, we believe in that. This is what we're fighting for. This is the idea. What we're willing to fight for. What we're willing to die for, if necessary. You know? We have to know what we believe in.
By the way, we've done it before. You with Ron Paul, but you were the original impetus of it. He made it about audit the Fed, get rid of the Fed, don't have a foreign bank that's private running us. He almost became president just off that. That just shows the focal point of hey, we don't want Israel running us. We don't want a foreign bank running us. We don't want an out of control DC ignoring us. And so that's what the Red Pill University is about, is that ideology of what we stand for that transcends race and all this other stuff, so we can unify around issues and then say
exactly. Yeah. But we have to have our own ideology. And how many people do we know? And if you ask them, well, what does liberty mean? What would you think they'd say? They'd probably go, well, or that means not being in jail. To them, many people, being free is simply not being in jail.
And so give us your expert definition of what human freedom is.
Well, now we come to the creed of freedom. And it'll take a moment to cover it all, but I can summarize it.
No, take your time. I'm gonna sit back and shut up. Go ahead.
Well, don't do that, Alex. All the exciting part would be out of this thing. Well, okay, what is collectivism? It's a battle actually between collectivism, and the opposite is called individualism. Those are the only two ideologies in the world when you really cut all the garbage away and get down to the bones and the heartbeat and so forth. There are only two ideologies in the world. And it's individualism versus collectivism. And all these other words like communism, socialism, fascism, Nazism, New Dealism, or whatever, people move, titles around because they sound good, and nobody really knows how to define them. So I decided years ago I had to see if it was possible to pull together all the great ideas that in that time of period I was learning. I made myself go and to the library and start to learn about what are these ideologies, and read a lot of these old books, a couple of hundred years old. And I was amazed to find out that these books had the word collectivism in them and the word individualism in them. I never read those words in our modern literature. And I discovered that they were systematically removed about the period between World War I and World War II because they were too clear. It established principles, and the people who were talking about, I call them the collectivists, didn't want us to understand who they were and what they believed. They wanted us to just worry about, well, who are you going to vote for? You know, you like, who's running? Oh, let's see. Oh, I like this guy. Oh, he's Republican? Oh, I'll vote for him. Yeah, that's what they want us to do, because it's nothing. It's nothing. We're like putty in their hands with that kind of an outlook. Anyway, back to the main topic. What is collectivism? What is the ideal of liberty? And I'm glad you gave me a little bit of time, because I want to explain how I came to this understanding. Which back, by the way, my tuning in started in 1960. I remember it very clearly. That's what I was shaken out of my complacency and my stupidity about everything, just about everything. And so I remember I was working for a large insurance company at that time, and we were putting together group insurance policies for corporations with 25 employees or more. Some of them, we had thousands of employees, and it was my job with the insurance company to do the work and develop special programs for corporations. And I was climbing the corporate ladder, or so I thought. And then I got sidetracked. I read something and, somebody handed me a pamphlet about the United Nations, and it was written by a college professor in some Midwestern university. I don't remember the name of it now, but the title of the pamphlet, I believe, was The Truth About the United Nations. And of course, when I read this thing and I saw that the author was saying that the United Nations was a fraud and that everything it said, it actually meant the opposite. And it was fooling people, thinking that by promising to put an end to war and poverty and, injustices of all kinds and save little children from serious diseases and all these good things we were being told about the UN that, and now this guy says that it's bad and that they were lying. I was really outraged by that. And, so I went to the library. I started to read about it and I found out, by golly, this professor was right. But anyway, to make a long story a little bit shorter, it was in that period that I decided to do a little nudging around on my own. So everybody's worried about communism in those days. I mean, communism had taken over Russia, taken over China, had taken over countries in South America, and it had taken over Cuba right there at our doorstep. And we saw communists marching in the streets here in America. Communism was a big problem, at least I thought. And it was, everybody was concerned about communism. So I became an anti-communist, naturally. I couldn't understand why people kept falling for communism when history was so plain that every time communism came to power in some nation, it was mass genocide. Millions of people got assassinated because they disagreed with the new regime. And private property was confiscated and all the things we know about. And the nations usually went into poverty. Production came to a halt and all kinds of injustices and everything. How come with this history right out in front of us were people still buying into communism? So I decided to go down to the communist bookstore in Los Angeles. It's called the People's Bookshop on Larchmont Street. And I started hanging out with the comrades. Now, remember, I'm a young guy. I'm about 29 or something like that. And I'm looking like a wannabe businessman. I got my suit on, a little narrow tie, and my sideburns. You know, I was in style at the time. And I walk in like that to a communist bookstore. And I was out of place, you might say. They were very suspicious of me. But they finally decided that I might be a prospect because I demonstrated quite clearly that I was interested in reading their books. I wanted to find out what their motives were and so forth. So I went back multiple times and they tried to recruit me actually into the system. And I didn't pull any punches with them. I said, I'm really interested in what you guys have to say. So they were selling me all these books and I bought them all, including all the volumes I could find of the works of Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, who was really the author of communism, as far as I'm concerned, more so than Karl Marx. But anyway, I read all the things I could find written by Lenin, and I discovered an interesting thing, Alex. I discovered that the people pushing those books on me had not read them. It was amazing. They had not read them because I would ask them questions about certain features and they wouldn't know what I was talking about.
And so, I've discovered the same thing. I went in college, the commie meetings, and I've gone out to demonstrations. They never know anything. They just hear it. They're going to get a bunch of free stuff. But when you actually read the books, they even tell you it's super cold-blooded. And what's crazy is I've gotten to know like a bunch of the top Russians. And I've confirmed a whole bunch of stuff, but they come on and they know that the British intelligence, and sent in the Bolsheviks. They know that was a program of control now. And did you know Putin even talks about it and talks about how communism was an outside disease planted over there? So I always hear, oh, they're really faking that they're not commies still. And still there's some of that. But no, I know a bunch of the top Russians and they all say we're with Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And at least that internally, and Putin said it publicly that Alexander Solzhenitsyn, he was secretly reading Solzhenitsyn when he was in the KGB. I'm not lionizing, Putin. I'm just saying I talked to Dugin and to Boot and all these people that nobody else you talks to, and they sound like you actually. That's wild.
Well, they know what they're doing and they're proud of it. They don't necessarily hide it because they know from experience that most people don't give a damn. And they're not interested. You can tell when I start to talk about these things, I can tell within about 30 seconds whether I got someone who's interested or not. And, you know, when the eyes get glazed and they're sort of looking off and over your shoulder.
But bottom line, you confirm what the John Birch Society had said in even deeper research, because I've read your books, watched all your films, that it was the ultra elite rich funding communism. Explain how that works.
Well, yeah, because those people are collectivists. That's my topic, actually. That's why I went to the communist bookstore to find out what all these crazy things that I was seeing. The richest people I could think of were actually promoting communism, and I thought they were communists. And that's the thing. I thought they were communists because they were promoting communists and communism. Well, that makes sense. Why wouldn't they be? Well, I had to get educated to find out they weren't promoting communists. They were promoting collectivism. It was the ideology. And that communism is merely one variant of it. And socialism, another variant of it.
It's mainly a mechanism to get there. And if you read even what Obama said when he was leaving office, he said, look, we use communism to consolidate control, but then there's an international elite that controls it for everyone's good. So it's ultra-rich, yeah, collectivizing, enslaving people to the new feudalism they call freedom, but then the elites sit internationally above it, controlling it and traffic-copping it.
That's as good a summary as I could think of. It's always that small group at the top, primarily centered, I think, around the banking fraternity, because let's face it, the money, control over the money, creation of money is the greatest power I think there is, even more so than atomic weapons, because if you've got the money, you can have the atomic weapons. If you have the atomic weapons, you might not get the money, but that's another argument. But anyway, yeah, power is can take many forms, but the strongest form, in my view, is money, because that is a way that you can commandeer, you can take away from people their freedom of action, their choices, their everyday.
Well, the Club of Rome admits, they said in the 70s, we're going to make everybody poor, break up the family, so there's not enough money even to take care of a family, and then now that's where we are. I mean, it's very simple.
Well, it is very simple. That's what we're going through. We have been going through that actually for quite a while. They wanted to, that's why I said earlier, they wanted to bring America to her knees. People who were independent had money in their pocket, their money, not the government's money, but their money. And they were free to snub their nose at the government if they wanted to. Say, well, I'll heck with you guys. Okay, here's your money. I'll pay your taxes. Get out of my way, you know. But the object was to remove that independence on the part of the people and make them totally dependent on the state. So that
because collectivism is really domestication.
Yes, it's domestication. No, let's get to the part. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit.
Yes, sir.
After going through that deal with the communist bookstore and all that, I started to make a list of all the principles, not the slogans. The slogans were, the slogans from each according to their ability, to each according to their need, rah, rah, rah. We are against racism and war, rah, rah, rah. Sign me up. I'm all for all the slogans. And that's how these guys over at the communist bookstore had been suckered into it, because of the slogans. They didn't ask any further questions. Listen, they didn't ask them, how do we do this? Anyway, make it long story short. So I started making a list of the principles, the actual ideology of what I thought was communism, and then I discovered later it was collectivism. The same principles, and anyway, that's what my point. I made a list of about 12 of them, and there were about six that were really, really strong. And then I wondered, well, what's the opposite of this? I had learned in school that the opposite of communism, which was the extreme left, would be fascism or Nazism, the extreme right. All right, makes sense. I thought it.
But it's totally false. It's another brand of collectivism.
Yes, it is. But I didn't know that. I thought since Stalin and Hitler fought each other and hundreds of thousands of lives were lost in a war between communism and Nazism, they had to be opposed to each other. What a shock it was to find out when I finally got hold of Mein Kampf and read Hitler's book, and I lined those principles up with the ones that I had copied out of all the works that came from the communist side. They were exactly the same. And that was a jolt that really got me serious about this whole thing. And I thought, if I could have been fooled on that, to think that communism and Nazism were opposites, because that's what it said. Everybody told me that, and therefore it was true. When I could fall for that, I could fall for anything. So that's really how it all started. And so then I made a list of these principles, Alex, and I'll just give you an idea. There are two principles I'd like to mention. The one is perhaps the most easy to understand, and that is that collectivists, collectivism is the concept that the group is more important than the individual and must be sacrificed. The individual must be sacrificed, if necessary, for the greater good of the greater number. That is a rock-solid principle of collectivism.
And Spock always taught that on Star Trek.
Everybody teaches it. There's every university teaches it. Every school room teaches it. Every nation in the world has adopted it. 99% of the people on the planet believe it. All right? But they don't know it's called collectivism. They don't know about the rest of it either. But it just sounds so good. I was taught it at the university. I thought it was a great idea. It's what sounds so good. You know, from each according to your ability, to each according to your needs. It's a slogan, you know? But anyway, so that was one principle. That describes collectivism. That is, that the group is more important than the individual. And if you step out of line and it can be said by someone in authority, well, it's too bad about you, but we got to get rid of you because you are impeding society.
And that's what they said with COVID. You are non-essential. We're saying you're not needed. So really, it's a license to kill and enslave whoever you want, because you get rid of individual liberties. That's the cellular level. There is no liberty.
That's right. You said it very well at cellular level. The secret is that what is the group? I don't remember anybody writing that, but I remember when I was taking my notes, I wrote on the side, what is a group? If the group is more important than an individual, then what is a group? And it came to the amazing conclusion that the group does not exist the way humans do. Humans are real. They're physical.
No, it's a way to get individuals to give their individualism. You then have the cult leaders of the so-called group funded by a globalist above it that you think you're in a collective, but you're really in a slave grid.
Yes. They can sell it. It sounds so good. That's our enemy is so good at slogans. That's the thing. Yeah, but I realize there's no such thing as a group. The group is an abstraction of the mind. It doesn't exist. You can't touch it. You can't burn it. You know, a group is an abstraction. And how is it? You know, it doesn't even exist. And it's like the number seven. How can the number seven, just the number seven, the concept of seven of something, it's an abstraction. Only the mind can recognize seven. How can that recognition have a power or a right, a human right, let's say, that humans don't have? And it's this is crazy.
It's a way of
man.
Transferring individual liberty into a collective controlled by an elite.
It's a way of fooling people into thinking that giving up their liberty is the right thing to do. That's the bottom line. And they do an excellent job of that, because you're supposed to be compassionate and you're supposed to make sacrifices on behalf of other people. It's Christian principles and so forth. And
On your own researched will, but you're now making sacrifices directed by someone else.
Yes, and you're paying for it. They direct it and you pay for it. And sometimes the help that they're delivering to the underdog turns out not to be the underdog.
Oh, like they all fly around in jet airplanes and are filthy rich with 10 kids, but you can't have air conditioning or medical care. Oh, but you're doing it for the earth. You're a collectivist. Back in 2 minutes with the incredible G. Edward Griffin. We got more time with this guy. We got to get him on more. He's going right back to basics here. Remember, the globalists are on record. The collectivists are on record. They know this is a fraud. Call it crony capitalism. Call it whatever you want. It's slavery. It's anti-human. And it wants us all absolutely under its boot. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
At midnight, Alex Jones was thrown out and locked out of his InfoWars studio along with his crew after the 8-year-long legal battle trying to shut him down and censor him is coming to a close. And liberal media are celebrating with headlines like this. The lights go out at Alex Jones InfoWars, and InfoWars.com, the domain name, now has a message that just says off air. But these people don't know anything about Alex Jones, because if you just go to alexjoneslive.com, The website looks very similar to the old InfoWars website. And look at there! There is a live feed of his show, the Alex Jones Show, now just not using the InfoWars name, where he is continuing. It hasn't missed a beat! If you go to the Apple App Store and the Android App Store and search for AJN Live, you can download the new Alex Jones Live app, where you can still listen to his show streamed live on your phone. Or you can just find and follow Alex Jones on Twitter, X, where he still has 4.5 million followers, because despite the lawyer's attempts to try to take his personal account, they failed. And you can see there the live icon around his profile photo shows that he is live streaming the show there on repeat 24/7.
There is a war raging for the future of humanity. We have opened a new front at alexjoneslive.com. They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back, stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds. Hear the broadcast. Share the signal. AlexJonesLive.com. The coordinates of freedom.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
By the way, folks, I will be attending. He's invited me so many times, and I've done it remotely. But I gotta meet him, you know, I've only met him a few times in person. I gotta go to the mountain and see J. Edward Griffin, because the older I get, the more nostalgic I get, and the more appreciative I get of people that have just put it all on the line. And we stand on J. Edward Griffin's shoulders. It's just amazing. I mean, he's right up there with Ron Paul, a true living legend. And this is a short segment. Some stations join us at 6 after. So we've got a few minutes here and we'll come back with the final segment. But J. Edward, finishing up with collectivism, which is the parasitic enslavement cult, calling it collectivism, but I agree that's how you boil down, versus individualism. You've been spending some time on how you recognize collectivism, but it's all around us. It's the ether in which we swim, versus individualism. How do you define, how does someone recognize individualism?
Well, the individualism is exactly the opposite of all of these principles that I was telling you about, that I listed, that I found in the literature of the fascists, the Nazis, and the communists, and other forms of collectivism. So it's, individualism is the exact opposite. So let's take the first principle I already mentioned, which is that the collectivists believe that the group is more important than the individual. The individualists believe that the individual is the center of society, and that the greater good for the greater number actually arrives when you put the individual ahead of everything else, because it's the collective accumulation of the rights of the individual that really make up the rights of the group with the abstraction. So if you protect the rights of the individual in a society, which was pretty much done in early America, that is the best solution for the greater good for the greater number, even though it's not perfect. It's not as imperfect as
it always produces the maximum freedom, liberty, and success, but it's not good for elites.
Not good for elites, no. They become very nervous about that. So that it's a simple thing. And one more example, maybe, will make it even more clear. One of the principles is that the collectivist believes that he gets his rights from the state, that when men sit down and write a constitution or a law, that they are giving him a right that he didn't already have. They think that the state is the giver of rights. And individualists believe, no. This individual is the giver of rights to the state. That's the basis of we believe that the governments, just governments anyway, derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. Everybody believes that.
And you're quoting the Declaration of Independence now. That's what this is all about.
Yes, it's everywhere. But people don't understand it. They don't think about it. You cannot have it any other way. If the state has to get its rights to do whatever it does from the people, if in a just society, if you want to live under tyranny, yeah, no, that's okay.
That's our whole system said, no longer do our rights come from the king. They come from God that is above the king, thus to us.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's another principle. Now, think about what that means. If the state gets its power from the people, that means that the state is going to be authorized to do only those things which the people themselves have the power to do. Because if they are not, as individuals, allowed to do something, they can't delegate something they don't have to the state. That means, what is the state? I mean, what is the individual allowed to use coercion for? The state, by the way, should be defined as the legalized use of force. It's the legalized use of killing somebody. We give the cops and the soldiers guns and say, go, we're going to kill people. This is a severe, serious topic. We better be sure what the limitations are that we're giving to the government to use those guns.
And, of course, COVID was about reversing that, but it backfired. I want to come back and talk to you about that and suppressed medical treatments and more. And out of all your books and material, we think it's the most important for newbies to read. RedPillExpo.org. Tickets are selling fast. I'm going to see you there. RedPillUniversity.org to learn about liberty and freedom, collectivism versus individualism. Jay Grimm is our guest. Back in 60 seconds. Share the live feeds now at Real Talk Shows on X and follow us there.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum has been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot. But I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Edward Griffin and Jason Burmes joins me with massive breaking news and more. The War Room with Harrison Smith coming up in about 53 minutes, 3 to 6 p.m. Central. And if we rebuild the network, the Alex Jones Network, bringing on more hosts, more reporters, all of it, just remember, it is your support at thealexjonesstore.com with the very best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel that makes it all possible. This is individualism. We're not there with the government with a gun to your head saying give money so they give it to USA to have drag queen story time and transgender surgeries. No, and to put fluoride on your water. No, this is about your individual right, your freedom to promote this show, to support the broadcast, and to say, hey, I want to individually be part of that. And then together we form a coalition of individuals promoting ideals that are pro-human, and that's what this is all about. And we've changed the world. I mean, I've been on the air 32 years. The hand of God's been this whole operation. And I can count on one hand the people that have had the biggest effect in the last 50, 60 years in the fight against tyranny. And it's not about the credit. It's just about recognizing what is the most truthful, most effective information. What does the enemy hate? And out of those five people on one hand, Jerry Griffin, Alex Jones, two of them here together today. And we're looking for the next generations of that. I know that's what Red Pill University is all about. And it's so exciting to see what's happening. But so many people that are riveting hosts, talk show hosts, and filmmakers and authors, they're doing a great job, but they're mainly only talking about the problems. And I do that too. And it was Jerry Griffin decades ago, you know, on the show saying, Alex, you've got to focus more on the solutions. And I'm just like, well, it's evident. Don't do what they're doing. And yeah, you know, freedom and free market. Okay, but you got to explain that to people because the enemy camouflages it so well. But let me throw a few other issues and topics at you with the time we have. What do you make of the Epstein fiasco and everything that Ted Gunderson and all those guys were saying 30 years ago, 40 years ago, all being vindicated and reading the emails where they're eating kids and selling organs and just, I mean, I knew they were into that stuff and it came out in WikiLeaks, 7-year-old girl being delivered for John Podesta's, you know, entertainment alone at the pool at the secluded, you know, cabin in upstate New York. I mean, it's all there, but it's one thing to have a lot of cases and have it from experts, but to see it all, I mean, a lot of it come out and then nothing happens. Like you said, it's just very paradoxical, but I don't see how the system holds up under this because a lot of people aren't public figures like you or I, so they don't get the ability. When I go to the grocery store or church or the gym or walking down the street, I'm more mobbed than ever. Black, white, old, young, male, female, you name it. It's not about, oh, I'm famous and great. I'm just a bellwether or a gauge. I'm telling you, G. Edward Griffin, the world is on fire for truth right now, but because we're liberty-based and we are individuals, that's our strength and our weakness. No one knows then what do we do next. I always ask, what do we do? What's the plan? And I know you've talked a lot about that with Red Pill University. So just in general, how would you describe the period of history we're in right now? What are the bad future scenarios versus good future scenarios? And how do you think people can do the quickest, if they're new listeners or viewers, because things are exploding, how do they get red-pilled the quickest? What's the best avenue to go down?
Good question. That is the question, actually. Yeah, that's how we actually started this interview, is am I optimistic or pessimistic and so forth. And I said, I am neither. I'm trying to be realistic. And my realistic opinion is that we're living in a period of great opportunity because it's so crummy. The wheels are coming off of the system. It's been a very comfortable system up until now. And as long as it's comfortable, most people are not unwilling to get serious about changing it. And so it's hard to say the good side of this is, you might say, because of the bad side of it. Now we're realizing how serious it is. And when the food starts disappearing again, or when major crises occur, like our friend with the, what was his name? Klaus Schwab. We don't hear much of him anymore, but he used to talk about, we will have a multi-crisis, you know, and that's what they want. When we have multi-crisis, people will be so upset and distracted, they won't know what the heck to do, and they'll be very helpless, and they'll just feel like it's beyond them as individuals to do anything, which is basically true. But the question then is, well, how do you stop being an individual? In addition to being an individual, how do you?
But we know the trap is at the point they create the crisis, the virus, the power outage, the cyber attack. Yeah. We're supposed to give our control to them and think it's going to get better. It only gets worse. You can be in a crisis. Mm-hmm. We know this. Giving up your freedom at that crisis will only make it worse.
That's it, exactly. But people don't see it. All they see is the fear part. Oh my God, I'm running out of food. The water is not coming out of the pipe. The gas station is closed, you know, all these things. Well, my credit card doesn't work. In fact, the electricity doesn't work. This is what they want. They say, we're going to fix these problems. No, their object is to make those problems so that the average person and beyond will have no recourse except to call for help from the state. They'll give us an annual salary, annual income. Oh, that's wonderful. Now we got money. At least now we got the money. And now they're completely wrapped up by the state. They dare not say anything against the state or they lose their money You see, that's where it's coming to, and people don't see it. But anyway, now back to the question now. What's the good part of that? I think the fact that the wheels are coming off of the wagon now, it's causing a lot of people to look very carefully at this question, well, what can we do? Now, unfortunately, most people are still thinking in terms of how can we survive. As you mentioned earlier, I've given a lot of public presentations since 1960. I've had thousands of them, and usually there are some good questions that follow these presentations. And Alex, I can tell you that not once in all that time has anyone asked me a question that I was hoping to hear. They always ask me a question, so what can I do to protect myself? I mean, should I buy gold and silver? Should I get out of debt? Should I move into the hills? Should I go to another country?
Think about, which is good, but the trick is, they think as an individual, how do they protect themselves? We are individualists, but it's going to be in mass us making political movements together that actually gets it out of it. They think of defense instead of offense.
Exactly. That's it. What can I do to protect myself? I've never had one person ask me, Mr. Griffin, what's your plan for victory? How can we win this war? No one is thinking about winning. And it was Napoleon who said the purely defensive is doomed to defeat. So that's where we are, folks. We're all thinking about how do we defend ourselves? How many people are thinking, how can we attack? How can we get behind George Washington when he crossed the Delaware on Christmas Day and the Hessians weren't expecting him? He changed the American Revolutionary War with one bold attack.
So what is our Trenton moment?
Well, I don't know. First of all, we have to have a leader. Where's our leader? Where is our leader? Is it Mr. Trump, who's done everything against the principles of individualism versus collectivism?
And let me ask you that question. Do you think he knows he's a Trojan horse, or has he been manipulated?
Well, you ask me what I think. I think the odds are almost overwhelming that he knows. I fear that the poor man, for whatever reason, has allowed himself to be compromised long, long, long ago when he was hanging out with all those guys, you know. He was hanging out with Epstein like buddies. And I think he was compromised from that day forward, if not earlier. And you look at his history. Anyway, I don't want to get into an anti-Trump thing.
It's important that people think Trump's coming to save him. And maybe he was a speed hump, you know, to the left. But I see he's a globalist more, thought the left was going too fast. So Trump comes in to control the dialectic. I think that's clear now. And then Trump's made a deal, whether it was in the past or now, with the establishment to try to use like an Israeli model of management to give himself a rear guard action when he gets out. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that's what's happened.
Well, yeah, I don't know all the ins and outs, but I feel that it's just logical that he is not his own man. He's got too many handles on him. And that's the reason he's there. That is the reason he's there. The elite, as you call them, really want somebody that is controllable. And regardless of what he thinks, I think Trump has some good instincts, because every once in a while he'll say something that's really right on target. And then we find out that 5 days later he's rescinding it. He's changing his mind. I think he was called in and spanked and told, no, that's, you said the wrong thing. Anyway, I'm not an anti-Trump person. I like a lot of the things that he's doing, but I also know the strategy of our enemy. The enemy is very good about putting forth controlled opposition leaders for our side. And they know, and they've written about it and held seminars on these things of how to do that. And one of the first lessons is that you've got to allow your controlled opposition man to do things against your side in order to appear credible. And if you don't do anything, you don't get the support of the people that are so hungry for a leader. So you let somebody come forth and actually do some damage against you. And that makes it look real. But there are little things that can be corrected, you know. The big things never get altered in any way. So anyway, that's the strategy off on that. Back to the main question you ask is so good, which is, where is the goodness in this? Where's the happiness in this? Where's the why would I be optimistic or even realistic and have some comfort in it? I think it's because things are getting worse and will continue to do so, opens up the minds of people who otherwise would rather watch Dancing with the Stars. And once you get that crack in the public attention, I think it could move very quickly toward a mass movement, a tipping point, where a new leadership could arise if, and this is the big if we understood that we have to break free from the old patterns of accepting leadership from the mainstream media or from all these so-called co-opted or opposition leaders. Not everybody that comes out and says, I believe in the Constitution, or I believe in this and all the things that we believe in. That's the hook to get us in. But we have to look deeper than that. What has their past been? What have they done in their previous lives? Who do they hang out with? You know, this is important stuff. We're giving these people guns to shoot us, hoping that they're going to be on our side. We're giving them atomic bombs to blow up the world, hoping they'll be on the side of truth and justice. We better be careful about who we're giving them to.
And let me give people a microcosm. I've studied UK politics very closely because the same globalists are running it. They bring in Nigel Farage. He acts like he's good. He puts in Boris Johnson, sabotages it all. Now he admits he's basically a globalist. And that's reform. But then you've got restore that's always being shut down, always being blocked, has always been true, and is the real deal. But it doesn't matter. They still forced UKIP to act good. It had some good people in it. And that slowed down the globalists because they had to at least act like they're with us. So you don't give up. Yeah. It's just an ongoing process in this ongoing struggle. And I see UK politics as a microcosm of here.
Yeah, absolutely. And this has been going on for a long time. The public has to believe that there is a honest struggle, a contest going on. And they have to be shown victory and defeat, victory and defeat. It's back and forth. Oh, we're winning. Oh, now we're losing. Oh, we're winning again. When in truth, both sides are in the hands of the elite, both sides. And it's all a show. Not all, but I mean, the major part of it is a show. And the average person can't get their head around that.
Well, how they know is who's real is who's being destroyed. Because I agreed to have these meetings off record, and they weren't criminals. So if I have the meetings, they're off record. But I've had the globalists. Bilderberg Group members were at the time, richest guy in the world, were up before they all sued me, you know, starting 8 years ago, you know, say, hey, come have a meeting while you're here. And, you know, they hey, we're going to get destroyed if you don't do this. We want you to be the loyal opposition, blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, I'm not doing it. They said, well, watch what happened. And then now you see what we've been through in our long-time track record promoting the fundamentals of freedom, just like you've done. It's just that simple. And people can have faith in themselves and God that created them. They can run for office. They can be on school board. They can educate people. And it's going to be that long-term process. This is a long war. This isn't instant gratification. Closing comments, Jim Griffin. And then I'm going to come to your expo, and I'm going to be there and speak. I'm looking forward to it. All I ask is I'm going to do an interview you when you're there, and I want to get you back on, again, maybe for commercial-free podcast before then, to really drill into the central banking, the Federal Reserve, the central bank digital currencies, this new system they're trying to bring in. But in closing, comments, G. Edward Griffin, and I know you have the website, redpilluniversity.org. Where's the best place to find all your books?
Well, our bookstore is called realityzone.com. realityzone.com. But all the information about the expo and the university, good place to start there is with redpillexpo.org. Redpillexpo.org. That's the way you get in. And if you want to get on our mailing list, which I hope you do, you can always jump off if you don't like it. But I think if you're looking at Alex Jones and Ed Griffin and you're still on the line, you want to hear what we have to say. So, that would be it. Realityzone.com for the bookstore. And redpillexpo.org for the Red Pill.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold and go back to the main show here after you leave us. But talk to the guys. Let me know who – I've talked to them before years ago, but whoever the manager of Red Pill is. And then let's get you back on before the expo, and I'll see you at the expo. 60-second closing comment.
Okay, very good.
Closing 60-second closing comment, G. Edward.
Oh, closing comments. All right. We've talked about what do you do about it. If you want to know what to do about it, you have to realize that a lot of people, 15% of the population is a lot of people. If they get together and have a strategy, not just an ideology, but a methodology for recapturing political and social influence in their own country, it can be done. I can tell you, I've participated in small groups. It works beautifully. And I can tell you, I stole every bit of it from our opposition. Those people are brilliant in how to influence and develop support. And they don't do it by sending emails to each other. They do it by putting people together face to face and forming local groups all around the country, all around the world, you might say. We can do it if we have a strategy. That's why Red Pill University is such an important thing, because that's exactly what it's designed to do.
Beautiful. Talk to you soon, my friend.
All right. Thank you, Alex. Thank you.
Powerful. What a living piece of iconic history with us. Truly 94 years old, just blown away by the prolific, accurate work of that man. Now, Jason Burmes, who's been prolific since I've known him 24 years, filmmaker, you name it, is about to take over with hard-hitting news for the balance of this hour, the War Room, Harrison Smith coming up. Just briefly, I can't do this without you. We're maxed out just to fund the operation at the level we're at. We need your support to expand. We're not collectivists. It's your individual choice to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Tonight, the big sale ends, 40-50% off. The lowest sale is 40% off. The best 50% off, Methylene Blue, Shilajit, Irish Sea Moss, Bovine Colostrum, all the Patriot apparel. It's the last day to get in 100X entries into the two, because one's ending tonight on the custom H1 Hummer, the sweepstakes, and the 2026 Dodge Challenger started. So you get put in to win both those $3,000 cash and 100X entries. That is tonight at midnight Central Time. So we're only talking about, nine and a half hours from now. So take action at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you so much. Jason Burmes takes over now. He always knocks it out of the park. Jason, tell us what you got on the front burner. All right, bringing Jason Burmes in right now to the live feed. Jason Burmes, tell us what you got today.
Well, I'm going to, or was going to, lead with DARPA creating synthetic blood in the move towards transhumanism and be talking NASA, artificial intelligence, and robotics. But what I wanted to lead with, since you just had the legendary G. Edward Griffin on, was a part of the inauguration speech of Mamdani. For those that missed it, right here, he exposes himself as everything that G. Edward Griffin was just talking about, literally telling you they are moving away from the cold embrace of rugged individualism, something that I have strived to become after learning about the collectivist agenda, to the warmth of collectivism. And he uses many of the semantic tricks that G. Edward Griffin just talked about. So, Alex, let's play this clip. It's just about a minute long, so we've definitely got the time. Here is the new mayor of New York City telling you he's a collectivist.
Exception. Few of these 8.5 million will fit into neat and easy boxes. Some will be voters from Hillside Avenue or Fordham Road who supported President Trump a year before they voted for me, tired of being failed by their party's establishment. The majority will not use the language that we often expect from those who wield influence. I welcome the change. For too long, those fluent in the good grammar of civility have deployed decorum to mask agendas of cruelty. Many of these people have been betrayed by the established order. But in our administration, their needs will be met. Their hopes and dreams and interests will be reflected transparently in government. They will shape our future. And if for too long these communities have existed as distinct from one another, we will draw this city closer together. We will replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism. If our...
And there are the cheers. Yay! The warmth of collectivism. Now, folks, notice how he uses some truth right there, talking about how the order that is in place right now has failed most of us, which it has. But if you think you're going to move into a more authoritarian system, collectivism, whether that be, as G. Edward Griffin told you, traditional communism or old school Nazism, you are out of your mind. Even what we have right now in this country is no longer the checks and balances intended government for and by the people that we were supposed to have under our Constitution and Bill of Rights. And that is what the big, big problem is to overcome. We have to find a way to push accountability, to push checks and balances, to get rid of this executive within an executive that seems to be making the vast majority of the important decisions that are not liable or criminally accountable. We're going to come back. We got about 30 seconds till the break. I want you to go to the alexjonesstore.com right now. Support this broadcast. Support people like G. Edward Griffin, a living legend, 94 years young. He's actually a staple in the InfoWars produced film, which you can watch for free, by the way, from 16 years ago, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined. You want to talk about the roundtable groups put into place to put this agenda forward? That is the film for you. Go get the supplements. Go get the t-shirts. Support the info war. We're going to be back with more transhumanist news after this.
Plug for about 90 seconds at the end of the first hour. Didn't plug any last hour. And I'd raise that point. I'd say, oh, not good. I didn't plug. It's bad. I didn't plug. But I didn't want to interrupt that guest. That's how we fund this operation. If I just plugged twice an hour, we've done the math, we'd have plenty of funds around this place. And I can then hire more crew, more stuff, and but I don't do it, so we're almost in the red again. So be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny. And the products really work, because we want to sell you something that is going to be great, that's good for you, that blows you away. So you go, man, that Alex Jones was right again. Not just about what he covers and says, but the products. Our T3 iodine is not instant gratification. It takes about 2 weeks on average for it to kick in. It is the missing link. Most people are iodine deficient. The iodine that's in the environment, most of it's bound, meaning it's not atomic. It's not pure on the periodic table. It is bound to a whole bunch of other stuff, and you don't absorb it properly. This is atomic iodine. It does everything. Now, again, you die without oxygen in 4 minutes. Everybody knows this. 4 minutes without oxygen, the average person's dead. Some people quicker. Without water, you die in about 4 days. Out in the desert today, most people die in about 45 days without food. Now, why is that? Because the food has the vitamins and minerals in it. And I know I'm talking to you like you're 5 years old. I know most of you get this, but for others that don't. Iodine, you can look it up, is one of the essential elements that without iodine, you die. Now, in the 1920s, they noticed about a 15-20 point IQ reduction, particularly in the Midwest, and massive spikes nationwide of child deformities, birth defects. And they did a bunch of big government studies and found that people that lived on coastal cities and that ate a lot of fish had higher IQs and basically almost no deformities. And they went, oh, it's the iodine. So they started putting a cheap form that's bound, but you still get some of it, but sodium fluoride, I think it's the one, in the salts. When I was a kid, it still said Morton salts, iodine added. You know, the little girl with the umbrella, and it says when it rains, it pours. This is the super version of that. Just a few drops a day. It takes 2 weeks on average to kick in for the average person. And your skin, your stamina, your libido. I remember, like, gosh, time flies, like 18 years ago or something, I met Dr. Edward Grubb, really smart guy, total visionary. And he said, listen, you need to start taking atomic iodine. And he'd come out with the only one. And he said, you should sell this private label. And I said, okay. He said, you know, you got some of those sunspots on your face. And I was like 38 then or so. And I didn't have bad skin, but I did have some sunspots, brown spots and stuff that weren't freckles. You know, I call them liver spots. And he said, all this other stuff will happen, your libido, everything. He goes, it's about 2 weeks for it to kick in. And right at about the 2 week mark of the average person, you'll kind of feel crappy for a day or two. It's not like you have a cold or the flu, but you kind of, it's still kind of groggy and tired. That's when it shifts in the cells, the mitochondria. And then a lot of toxins will get pushed out. You might even break out or something. But he said, after that, you'll feel incredible. 2 weeks later, I go, man, I feel like crap today. I have no energy. Lasts about a day. And then when I woke up the next day after feeling sick the day before, it was like I'd been carrying, you know, one of my kids on my shoulders. I'd carry them until they were like 5 or 6. Sometimes it'd be exhausting, but you take them off your shoulders, it feels so good. That's what it felt like. You're insane if you don't get this, and it funds our operation. And I only sell stuff that works, but it's not instant gratification. 2 weeks. Now be careful with it. Talk to your physician before, because you've got some different thyroid issues that can cause problems. In most cases, it helps, but you talk to your physicians. This isn't a game. And so there's a small percentage of people that can do some weird stuff. So be careful. I'm not selling placebo here. I only sell stuff that kick you like a mule in a good way. Be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You are listening to an AJN Live Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
And we are live. I am Jason Burmis, sitting in for Alex Jones in the fourth hour. And one of the things that Alex has talked about over and over and over again is not only the track, trace, database, surveillance society that we live in, but that move to get your biology, your biometrics, and really change what has now been solidified in that society through the Internet of Things into the Internet of Bodies. And although a lot of this information has obviously been collected through your doctor, through people voluntarily taking the magic device and rubbing their fingerprint on it, or having it scan their face over and over and over again, they want you to further acquiesce and get as comfortable as possible with these things, often going into the world of quote-unquote trendies. Alex loves the trendies. Well, there's really nothing more trendy than Jared Leto, the actor and lead singer of 30 Seconds to Mars. Now, Leto himself is an ultra-cult-like figure, which we're going to talk about in a moment. But right now, you can get BOGO tickets to see one of the worst bands in the world. I mean, absolutely horrible. I hate picking on other people's music because people love to pick on the type of music that I listen to. But this is hardcore ultra trash, just non-talent. The guy got a band because at the time he was a Holly weirdo star. But you want to see him? Hey, give up your biometrics. We'll give you BOGO tickets. Okay, and more you're seeing the movement not only away from cash, but even away from the magic device, because they want everything to be part of that Internet of Bodies scenario. And just quickly, I mean, there's lovely Leto right there. Looks like he could maybe go to Disneyland with the lovely lady Lindsey Graham. They'd have a great time in one of his roles. But this isn't a role. Okay, these are... and notice they're all women. And hey, I get it. I guess it's not all dudes. But he's got the long hair. He's got the rock star glasses on. He's the guru. And he's legitimately running a cult. I don't know how else to describe this thing. I mean, it is over the top and in your face. And look, Leto is probably part of one of the biggest summer blockbusters out there, the Masters of the Universe. Again, Jones loves the I Have the Power. And hey, I watched He-Man. I want to see Skeletor get his ass kicked too. But the truth of the matter is, we got a bunch of Skeletors like Leto that are pushing this agenda. And that agenda is not only to surveil our biology, it is to change it. And to do so incrementally, not all in one swoop. And one of the next steps in that is going to be provided by the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency and its subsidiaries, as they are now announcing that they don't just want to use synthetic blood. Oh, no, 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 no. They want to get it passed through the FDA, just like they did their mRNA technology. That was all DARPA run, 110%. And they're telling you that this is part of DARPA's RAPID program. Well, the mRNA program was the ADEPT and PROTECT program. Did it protect anybody? Is that what it did? Or did it fundamentally change what it means to be human, and not in a positive way? But again, they're rolling these things out as if they are the best things since breakfast. One of the things people just don't get about DARPA in particular is that DARPA is really just an extension, if you will, of this scientific elite that Eisenhower warned about in his military-industrial complex speech. It often partners with NASA to produce entities such as Google. That is what Google is. Google does not exist without the partnership of NASA and DARPA, their seed funding through universities, which we're going to talk about, Stanford University in particular, and then funding through the Central Intelligence Agency. Different arms of the same octopus. Okay, and while NASA is telling you that we're going to the moon and we're going to Mars, that's all Johnny nonsense. Okay, that's all window dressing for black projects, the weaponization of space, AI data centers in low Earth orbit, different types of propulsion systems, the different types of crap that the public will see. In fact, right now, you know, something that's been around for an extremely long time. I mean, these things are around for 20, 30, sometimes 40 years before the public sees them. And this is the X-59, the latest in supersonic jets. This one somehow does not give off the sonic boom. Okay, and to reiterate that space is extremely hard, at least what we see of it. I understand that there is a secret space program. And for me, the vast majority, if not all, of these craft that we have seen decade after decade after decade is human technology. We absolutely have other stuff. You know, the Tic Tac stuff, you know, the Morningstar one where you can clearly see an exhaust engine. All of that stuff looks human-made. Now, the ISS, which is human-made, and again, it's not just the United States. Russia had similar technology. Really, it's Russia's Sputnik, the first satellite to go up that DARPA was created out of. It was the Advanced Research Project Agency to try to combat that satellite technology, and it eventually becomes DARPA. Well, the ISS, again, human-based technology that now we're talking about being decades old, is continually failing. So earlier last week, they were talking about a couple of leaks. I mean, space is an extremely dangerous place, everybody. And if you didn't know, the ISS, while in orbit, is constantly falling and is constantly having to be repositioned as well. They're already talking about moving away from the ISS within the decade. That may be happening a lot quicker. They were talking about an evacuation alert order. These people were all staying in basically capsules that were away from the main station because of that leak. Well, now they said that everything's okay. But talk about failing technology. MAVEN, which is the one that was supposedly orbiting Mars. And look, I'm not saying that we haven't done these things, but I often believe that whatever we're putting out into the public arena is only part of the story, and sometimes the part of the story is clearly misdirection from what we are actually doing and what we have actually achieved. And the truth of the matter is that NASA has now partnered for well over a decade with Google, which it essentially created, in artificial intelligence in their own laboratory, not only for AI in space, but quantum computing and artificial intelligence here at home. And the big push with NASA is that transhuman technology. Okay, you talk about things like organoids, for instance. You know what an organoid is? That's taking traditional computing with traditional little chipsets, your little NVMe drive, and then taking biological stem cell material derived from human brains most of the time, lovely, and then integrating them into an organoid. What else goes on at the ISS? Well, you have these hydrogel type devices. Now, if you don't know what a hydrogel is, it goes right on your skin like a little tattoo. And who needs a dick-a-dick-a-doo shot or an injection? We'll just do it through the hydrogels. And then another huge thing that they're promoting are humanoid robots, which we're going to get into in a moment. Now, NASA itself, being at the forefront of artificial intelligence, has actually named one of their new central artificial intelligence officers. Okay, and the CAIO program is so important because it's not really being discussed. Many people have discussed Trump and his executive order and his tech panel of oligarchs, and all of that is important. Don't get me wrong. You don't want those people having oversight of everything, but basically their faces, because we already have the government in oversight of all quote-unquote privatized AI through that program. And they'll tell you that NASA is a private company and that it's not involved in classified projects. That's semantics. That's Johnny Nonsense. That's really all it's involved in. So NASA has now named their new CAIO. It's Kevin Murphy. He's a 17-year veteran of the agency. And as I said before, this agency is constantly promoting humanoid robots. Now, the headline of this is kind of an inside joke. Former NASA robotics chief: America is building the wrong kind of robot, and China knows it. This is trying to prop up the idea that we're somehow in competition with China in AI and robotics, and especially humanoid robotics. This whole article is promoting humanoid robotics. I've said it before. I will say it again. If the robots were actually here to help us, everybody, they were actually able here to make our lives easier, they would not be making them to look and act like us. Full stop. There is no reason that you could not improve upon the build of whatever job you have going on in a factory, in a manufacturing plant, with something that is not human-looking. I mean, at all. In fact, you're putting in way more work to do the humanoid robot thing, not because it will be more efficient in your business. It's because they want to acclimate you into working with these things. And eventually, in their own words, from the NASA chief scientist of over 30 years, passed away, I believe, last October, Dennis Bushnell, merging with them. Merging to the point where they become us, or we become them, or quote unquote, you have human contaminated machines. This is insane. Totally and completely insane. So here you have this individual from NASA, once again, trying to tell us that we need to do more with humanoid robotics. But in a moment, I'm going to present to you that, you know, it's two sides of the same coin, that China, the United States, and NASA are working hand in hand on this AI automation robotics agenda. And I want to show you how cool they are over in China. This is actually just a really good metaphor for the whole situation of humanity. Here you have this demonstration in China. We're going to show you. Okay. And we got a cool robot. Everybody's there, we're smiling. He's got his little wig on. He's humanoid. Look, he's gonna do a little karate for you, huh? Yeah, there's some karate moves, and whap, right in the chest. Yeah, well, you're sitting there cheering on the robots. They're here to take you out. Just a little kicky to the chest. But don't worry, it's going to be really funny now that the humanoid robot has joined the team of Jackass, and Jackass is a can't miss. Like, that will be one of the biggest movies of the summer, of the year, and now they have integrated a humanoid robot for the lulz. Well, to continue on how NASA has really infiltrated all these different arenas, not just the private business of Google with artificial intelligence, quantum computing, but also academia. Now, as I said before, it was the Stanford National Library Initiative, where Google essentially gets their start with all the funding from DARPA, NASA, InQtel, etc. But they love passing their alum onto different academic arenas. And now a nationally recognized AI pioneer, former NASA engineer, is the named president of Spelman College. Expect a lot more of this. Okay? And as, you know, as this continues, expect a lot of censorship around those that criticize artificial intelligence, those that criticize data centers, because those data centers are here to take your human resources. They're here to make your life harder and more expensive while they try to tell you in reverse everything is becoming more convenient. As your autonomy, your humanity is literally stripped from you. And Kyle Serafin, who does a lot of interviews here on InfoWars and has been pretty spot-on accurate over the past couple of years, he's just doing a little YouTube live streaming, again, owned by Google. And really, remember, it's Alphabet, then it's Google, then it's YouTube. Google, the number one search engine in the world. YouTube, the number two search engine in the world. YouTube, the number one video platform in the world. It is a technopoly. And it's not only a technopoly in the sense of a business. Again, it is subsidized by the Defense Department. You just can go down the line on how connected Google is with not only the Defense Department, but the National Security Council in particular, the ties between its ex-CEO, Eric Schmidt, who is basically their cutout, like their guy. Serafin was just streaming. He wasn't talking COVID 1984. He wasn't talking hate and lie shots. No, 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 no. He was warning against the data centers, and now he's been flagged as praising, promoting, and aiding violent extremism or criminal organizations for his anti-technology violent extremism. Excuse me? Now, I'm a tech nerd. I am surrounded by technology. But I got to tell you, I want to keep my compute. I don't want all this cloud-based bull shenanigans. I want to have my RAM. I want to have my GPU. I want to have all those things. They're taking it away in real time. They're pricing it out of range for the average consumer in real time. This is the first time in modern history where a computer or a video game system or a component is now more money. The same exact thing, not the new model, not the upgrade, the same technology. It is more money than it was 3 to 4 years ago. You know these little dick-a-dick-a-doos that I was showing you? Maybe 3, 4 years ago, I get these about, I don't know, 55, 60 a pop. They're 120, 140 a pop. These are like 1 terabyte storages. That's not even as bad as the RAM. The RAM's even more. This is a set of RAM that I bought for under $300 3 years ago, 64 gigabyte set, 32 and 32 DDR5. This retails for $740 plus tax now. That sound normal to you? That sound like they're going to give you entry? I got news for you. They're not. And to further reiterate how when you're looking at this, you have to go beyond the nation state. You have to go beyond the United States. You have to go to beyond Russia. You got to go beyond China. Well, take a look. China's GAN pioneer in InnoScience, founded by what? A NASA scientist, secures Google's AI hardware deal. Do you understand what that means? So you've got a person that worked for NASA with Google on artificial intelligence for probably well over a decade, okay? Because they literally declared quantum supremacy all the way back in 2019. Now it's extremely hard to find anything about their joint work because they like to keep that under wraps. You know, they want the public to just think, Moon and Mars, we're going to have bases, and Elon Musk's a hero. Meanwhile, you look at rocket technology, and Blue Origin is blowing up in front of our eyes. I mean, how many decades later, and that is a dangerous, unstable tech? Well, again, they're not worried about China producing these chips that they're going to use in all of this hardware that is going to be utilized by our Defense Department and by our general population. Why would they be? They're a team. They're a team. That's what this is. In fact, right now, SpaceX, very much a part of that team. And the Musker nuts had to make commentary a couple weeks ago because Fox News finally reported that Starlink was being utilized in the Ukraine-Russia war for the drones to hook into. Now, the vast majority of those drones are now hooking into the fiber optics, but we're talking right in the beginning of that. The ghosts and the sidewinders were all hooked into Starlink. I've been on the air. I've shown you the documentation of Starlink where it is clear that the Defense Department has a backdoor into all of it. That's what SpaceX is doing. It's launching not only Starlink, but now Star Shield, which is the classified version. And before that, it was Blackjack. That was just the outward weaponized version. You know, and I was over at the bar having a drink with my buddy this afternoon just a few days ago, and somebody was asking me about the SpaceX IPO and whether or not I thought that they should invest. And I go, listen, man, don't take investment advice from me. I could never buy into the stock market, especially because really where all the profiteering is, unfortunately, it is within the military-industrial complex. It is within things like SpaceX. And you better believe that SpaceX and Google and NASA, they're all in it to win it together, okay? This SpaceX is a proxy. Look, NASA emerged as another SpaceX proxy after launching with a 10% direct exposure to SpaceX. And meanwhile, what do they got the public jazzed up for? They got the public jazzed up for a whole lot of Steven Spielberg. Now look, I'm not going to lie. Spielberg is a super, super talented guy. I would say in recent years, maybe the stuff isn't as powerful, but I want to take people back before Disclosure Day comes out, okay, and just show kind of the shifting narratives when it comes to alien races and Steven Spielberg. You see, Spielberg, here's a collection of all the movies that he's directed. And believe me, he's produced a ton more. And by the way, the last one that I actually watched was the 2018 Ready Player One, which was a look into a dystopic transhumanist future where the vast majority of people live in total and complete poverty and filth, but can get into the virtual transhumanist arena and live out real world video games. Okay. And he tried to do so in a really positive manner. Was not a fan of that film, but let's take it back. You know, now, over 20 years ago, they redid War of the Worlds. Okay. So again, aliens attacking. And I think that's where this next one is going. And that was a huge, huge, huge shift. By the way, the same guy behind Minority Report and what? Pre-programming, pre-crime. From what he was selling you with the benevolent alien in E.T. and Close Encounters of the Third Kind. The guy has also been out there really selling you on U.S.-based propaganda now for decade after decade. And the public is rife to believe whatever they put out there. It is the final minute of the broadcast. I want to invite you guys to check me out over on YouTube, well, at last, Jason Bermas, B-E-R-M-A-S. You can also follow me on X as the same. I believe these are controlled platforms. I'm kicking and screaming to get to that audience. But if you want to see documentation, if you want to see all my documentary films for free, many produced right here at InfoWars, you can watch Loose Change, Final Cut, Fabled Enemies, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, and Shade the Motion Picture in the playlist section. Support this broadcast at alexjoneslive.com. Go to the Alex Jones store. Get the hats, get the shirts, get the supplements. And remember, folks, it is not about left or right. It is always about right and wrong. I absolutely love you guys. I will see you on the flip side, and stay human.
Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today. A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit, like, these things just happen. Like, this is our new normal. That, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach in California? Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. That is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple, but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack. A massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the Sea Moss capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjonesshowlive.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.